much about. So easy.
You gotta put it in perspective.
We'll take you where you need to go. Climb aboard the party bus and join the party.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
Today we have a very, very special guest in the studio. Why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself?
My name is Al, but you can call me Weird Al Yankovic, sir.
He who is tired of Weird Al is tired of life.
Well, you know, if I knew what you said, I could probably answer you. So I'll say yes, 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 and no.
Next, the FBI in color.
So what actually is the FBI?
The FBI is the...
This is your wake-up call, man. I am an FBI agent.
Here we go.
And now...
I've got guns, bullets, lots of bullets. Lots of bullets.
Our feature presentation.
Just guessing, that girl is not one we want with lots of bullets. Just guessing on that.
That's Survival Kitty's mom.
Oh, great.
Remember Survival Kitty from the Doomsday Preppers?
Sure, Doomsday Preppers. That's a great show, by the way.
It is a great show, but I'm still fear for Survival Kitty. You know, because when the S hits the fan, Survival Kitty gets it right to the head.
First thing. Before the S hits the fan. Maybe it's just it's a feint. It's a fake.
I think you're right.
Morning, everybody. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean show. It is a Monday morning.
Yes, it certainly is. It's certainly Monday, and it's certainly early, isn't it? Here's a story to get us going. I'm starting to rethink that people need to spend all the time and effort and money to have your baby in a hospital. Seems like that's just a tremendous expense. Isn't it ridiculously crazy expensive to have a kid in a hospital?
It is, but I would think your insurance pays a lot of it.
Yeah, I hope so.
Yeah.
Every once in a while, you'll see a story about somebody who gives birth out in the wild. And it seems like this, you know, they report these stories. It seems like everybody's always fine. It seems like the moral of the story is that the baby and the mom both end up being okay, even though they had the baby and they weren't expecting to. You rarely hear about it not going well. And I think that's part of the reason you have the baby in the hospital is in the event that there's a problem, you've got experts on hand.
Right.
But tell that to Megan Rivers, who got the surprise of her life when she delivered a baby boy on a train in Philadelphia over the weekend. She was actually approaching the train station, Ralph will know, the only station in Philly, when all of a sudden, quote, the baby just came out on his own, end quote.
Wow.
That seems unusual. It seems like there's generally a fair amount of warning before a child enters the world.
Yeah, that is strange that he just jumped out.
Unless, I haven't seen Miss Rivers, but maybe he just fell out. Maybe that's what was going on here. So she exits the train, walks up the stairs, holding the baby with the umbilical cord still intact. Okay, she's walking now after giving birth to this baby.
What is happening in Philadelphia?
And she finds a police officer named Lloyd Rogers. This is my baby, she says. I just had a baby, she said to him. The officer, who's a father himself, wrapped the baby boy in a blanket and called the medics. Though many women may have panicked in such a situation, the police officer said the new mom was thrilled. The joy she just had on her face, I'll never be able to explain it in 1,000 years. Train riders gathered around and stopped to congratulate her. And that can't be a sterile environment either, by the way. A train in Philadelphia, right?
No.
They took the mom and the baby to Albert Einstein Medical Center, and they're both doing fine. This is the second baby, by the way, that has been born on a train in Philadelphia. It happened back in 1990 as well. So that's a surprise.
Hmm.
So then there's a little aside, a little P.S. about other places where women have given birth. And this is an addendum to the Huffington Post article where this originally appears. Back in 2000, Sofia Pedro climbed a tree to escape the floodwaters in Mozambique, Africa. The brave mom held onto the branches as she delivered her baby Rosalita herself. A few minutes later, they were rescued by a South African helicopter crew.
She had a baby in a tree?
Yes. Delivered it herself in a tree because there was a flood going on below her.
Wow.
That's good thinking. That's humans being able to do what needs to be done.
I guess, right? But imagine being her and going, this is a bad time for the kid to come. I'm in a tree. Yeah,
I know.
And there's a flood.
In 2007, and I remember we talked about Danielle Miller, she worked for McDonald's, did not know she was pregnant, felt a sudden urge to rush to the bathroom during her shift. A few minutes later, she gave birth to her little baby, Austin. At a McDonald's, while she was at work, didn't know about it.
Went back to work?
Doesn't say that here. Now, let me do one more because I thought this was interesting. Amanda McBride felt like she was going into labor. This happened in 2010. She drove to pick up her husband, who suffers from seizures. It doesn't say anything more than that about about him here, but I'm assuming he can't drive maybe because he suffers from seizures. So she's driving, heading toward the hospital, while en route, her water breaks. Her husband takes the wheel from the passenger seat while she continues to, you know, to work the pedals and gives birth to the boy while she's driving behind the wheel.
That all sounds bad. What are you suggesting, that people do that on purpose?
I'm just saying all of these kids worked out. Look at all the money they saved. They got home and they went, whew.
Right.
Maybe it's not ideal.
So that's a good plan.
While you're driving, but I'm just saying it did work out for her, which I think is pretty cool.
All right.
Yeah, or a treat. These are pretty amazing stories, aren't they?
Yeah, except for I think the first one that you were talking about with the train, and I think you were onto something when it just fell out of her. I think
yeah,
it was probably.
Maybe so.
That was probably a loose connection.
It could have been.
At best. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Much as I'd like to take your word for it, I have no interest in taking your word for it.
Comedian Doug Stanhope on the program today.
I love Doug.
Harvey Levin talking about the celebrities over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Azita Ganizada.
Oh, he or she is really good at what he or she does.
She plays Rachel on a fantastic series on Sci-Fi called Alphas.
Oh.
So we're going to talk to her today. We have Andrew Siciliano talking about the NFL. We have thanks for that info, Bean.
How dare you?
We're going to ask you about being a bridesmaid for a bridezilla, which is always a nightmare. O.J. Simpson is selling the knife, which is an odd turn. And Chris Hardwick talking Walking Dead, talking about the Talking Dead, where they talk about Walking Dead.
That's right.
That's coming up this morning as well. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next.
It is Monday. Thanks a lot for tuning in for a new week of programs. Ralph Grammer joins us now. Time for our first look at the Showbiz Beat. How was your weekend, Ralph?
Oh, spectacular. Thank you so much.
You had no Eagles this weekend, right?
No, the bye week.
Bye week. And you were in Las Vegas?
Was. Kevin Smith and I did our Hollywood Babylon show to a sold-out crowd at the Laugh Factory at the Tropicana, Las Vegas.
Fantastic.
We had a blast. It was a great show and a great crowd, and it was just a great weekend, top to bottom.
Gamble? Come home with money?
Didn't have time, really. When I do the show, it takes a lot of time to prep that show. It's like writing a, you know, almost a two-hour show every week. So when I got there Friday, I went out a little bit, had dinner, and then gambled a little bit. But Saturday was pretty much spent prepping the show, and then Sunday I left.
So much more discipline than I do.
Well, somebody's got to do it. You got a live show to do. It's a lot of motivation to actually get it done, because you don't want to stand out there in front of people and not have anything.
So. You know, we have a live show to do here every single day, Kevin, that you could prepare for.
No, please.
You have all kinds of opportunities to prepare for things, Kevin, that you choose to shine on. I don't know. Maybe you want to look into it.
You can know about stuff that we're talking about, see things and read things. I don't
know. For the Showbiz Beat.
Nah, why do that when he's been so successful doing the otherwise? Thank you, America. Thank you for pretty much agreeing with me and roundly rejecting the notion of Tyler Perry as Alex Cross. Alex Cross in its debut this weekend, as we look at the movies at the box office, only came in at number 5 with $11 million in its debut.
That can't be what they hoped for.
That is not what they were hoping for, but it is a message sent to the producers of that film. How dare you, gentlemen, is what America said simultaneously. Number one movie at the box office, as expected, since we are in the Halloween season, was Paranormal Activity 4. $30 million made it number one at the box office. Right behind that was Ben Affleck's Argo with $16.6 million. Hotel Transylvania in 3D did $13.5, then Taken 2, and as I mentioned, Alex Cross at number 5. Sinister was 6. Here Comes the Boom was 7. Pitch Perfect was 8th. Frankenweenie and Looper rounding out your top 10 at the box office this weekend. A lot of congratulations are necessary, first and foremost, to Justin Timberlake and Jessica Biel. They did indeed get married this weekend, Saturday, at the a beautiful home in Italy. It's great to be married. The ceremony was beautiful, and it was so special to be surrounded by our family and friends, the couple said in a release statement. SNL's Andy Samberg was there. Timbaland was there. Seventh Heaven's Beverly Mitchell, who, of course, co-starred with Jessica on that show. They were there, and by all accounts, everyone had a very good time. Congratulations also to British singer Adele. She gave birth to a baby boy on Friday with her boyfriend Simon Konecki. The spokespeople for Adele released the following statement. We are not releasing a statement at this time.
Wait a minute. If you release a statement and say you're not releasing a statement, aren't you releasing a statement?
That is a statement.
I always lie, except for now. I'm telling the truth. What? I can't. People's heads exploded.
Ralph, I bet a lot of people were surprised to find out that Adele was pregnant, huh?
Wait, that's a fat joke.
Why you gotta be like that, man? Why you gotta be like that? Halloween, as I mentioned, is right around the corner. This surprised me. You know how much money we spend as a country on Halloween each and every year?
Boy, there's no way to guess that.
Well, there is a way. Candy, you can just guess. You can just say a number.
I would say $2 billion.
It's a good guess.
I'm going to say $80. As a nation.
That is not as good a guess.
Oh, not close?
No.
I was going for the low end of the scale.
Actually, each person in America will spend, on average, about $80 on Halloween.
No kidding.
Wow. Yeah.
So that's pretty good. $79.82, actually. But if you do the math, that means we spend about $8 billion on Halloween each and every year.
Wow.
That's candy, decorations, costumes, all that kind of good stuff. And they've released the list of the top 10 favorite adult costumes this year. This was a random poll. They said, well, what are you going to dress up as this year? And this is what folks said they're going to dress up. This is for the grown-ups. Superman was 10th on the list.
Okay.
A sexy cat was 6th. Hey, ladies, show some imagination. Will you? Forgot.
Just be sexy. Don't listen to Ralph.
8th, the sexy nurse.
Good.
7th, the sexy princess.
Good.
There are some perennials, aren't there, Ralph?
6th, the sexy vixen.
Good.
Which is just, you're dressed up like a whore. Yeah. You're just putting on fishnets and high heels and a bustier, and you're just whoring it up.
This is why Halloween is complaining.
Halloween rules because girls that don't normally dress like that dress like that.
Zombie, number 5 on the list. 4, Batman. Batman, 4th on the list this year. I thought it'd be higher with the success of Dark Knight.
Yeah.
Pirate, 3rd. Vampire, the perennial favorite, number 2. And number 1, what do you think the most... It's a female costume.
Female costume.
And this is interesting, because this whole list is perennials. None of them are based on celebrities or...
Well, Batman. But other than that, it's just
But you know
generics.
What I mean, year after year. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's a female costume, most popular. You already said nurse. It's,
Devil.
No, a good guess, though.
That is a good guess.
Surprisingly good.
Something good came out of Beer Mug's mouth. What just happened?
Wow.
Make a note, someone.
You said princess.
It's along those lines. It is more Halloween themed than sexy.
Halloween.
Although it can be both. Witch, number one. The witch. Witch.
Everybody knows Halloween is just a free pass for girls to dress like sluts. They just have to call it a costume.
While we're talking about that, Racked.com, the website, is the site to go to for all the sexy girl costumes. That's all they carry at Racked.com, sexy Halloween costumes.
R-A-C-K?
R-A-C-K-E-D, Racked.com. And they are in a bit of trouble.
Why?
Because the producers of Sesame Street have stepped in and issued a... no, I'm sorry, wrong website. Yandy. Yandy.com is the website. Y-A-N-D-Y.com. Racked was the one who did the story. Yandy.com. They were sent a cease and desist letter by the producers of Sesame Street saying they no longer can sell their sexy Big Bird costume.
Oh, come on.
Oh, yeah. They've got the sexy Big Bird costume. Yandy.com, you owe it to yourself to check it out because it's hilarious. You never knew, for example, that the penguin was a particularly sexy bird until you saw their sexy penguin costume. They've got sexy, you name it. They've found a way to make
well,
it sexy.
Well, sexy Big Bird.
Stephen Hawking?
Stephen Hawking, yes. They've got them all. Sexy Big Bird is basically just a yellow tube top and some red leggings and a beak hat. But Sesame Street producers, and we maybe don't want Sexy Big Bird.
Oh, come on.
Giving out candy to the kids this year. So please stop doing that. Look, Big Bird was a little sexy. Maybe Mitt Romney wouldn't have fired him.
It could be.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Christopher Lloyd, one of our favorites around here from Taxi and Back to the Future, is 74 years old today. I've been to the future, and I'm old. Jeff Goldblum is 60. Bob Odenkirk celebrates his 50th birthday today. Former U.S. Olympic figure skater Brian Boitano is 49 years old. Joke thief and comedian Carlos Mencia turns 45 years old today. Shaggy, he's 44 years old today. Is that, wasn't me? Is that him? Is that
Shaggy? That's him.
Spike Jones. Director, Adaptation, and Where the Wild Things Are, 43 years old. Jesse Tyler Ferguson of Modern Family celebrates his 37th birthday today. Zach Hansen of Hansen is 27. And remember little Jonathan Lipnicki from Jerry Maguire?
Oh, yeah, little kid.
The human head weighs 8 pounds.
Sure, little kid.
Little kid's 22 years old today. How about that?
Crack whore?
Yes.
Okay.
And sexy Big Bird. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
All week long here on the Kevin and Bean Show and on K-Rock, you can score passes to the 40th annual Halloween Haunt at Knott's Scary Farm. This is front-of-the-line passes for all 13 mazes. Which, Beer Mug, didn't you do that over the weekend?
I did. I went to the other one. The other.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's the way to go, though, man, without having to wait in line and get to go right up front and go through the mazes. So we got that for you. We'll hook you up later on today. Plus, Ralph has tickets to the new Denzel movie, too, called Flight. That's all coming up here on K-Rock.
You know the knife that O.J. didn't use to kill his wife and...
Right.
Ron Goldman, that knife?
Sure, yeah.
Would it surprise you if he held on to it, he still has it, and he's trying to sell it? Would that surprise you?
I don't know how he could possibly have held on to it with the police investigation that came in that night. I would think that that would be evidence piece number one.
Nearly two decades after the deaths of Nicole Brown Simpson and Ron Goldman, O.J. Simpson's reportedly trying to sell the knife used in the double murder. Listen to this one. According to reports, Simpson kept the weapon and is now selling it for $5 million to a wealthy memorabilia collector. The missing knife was an integral part of O.J.'s acquittal back in 1995. The former NFL star reportedly plans to reveal the location once a firm deal is reached. O.J. is currently serving time for an armed robbery in Las Vegas a few years ago.
How does he sell something from there? Where was the knife?
Yes.
Why is it worth $5 million?
Well, if only we had OJ on the phone from prison in Las Vegas, we could ask him all of those questions, Kevin. Hi, OJ.
Hi, Kevin and Bean. How are you guys?
We're good.
Fine. I got
to
be honest.
To do that. I haven't heard from you guys in a while.
Has been
glad to be talking to you.
Yeah.
Well, you haven't been in the news much lately, and frankly, I forgot you existed, and my life was better off for it. But you're back in the paper today.
That's funny. You forgot the juice. I don't think you did. I'm right here, and you guys, you are funny guys.
All right, OJ, let me ask the question right up front. Are you trying to sell the knife?
What? Here's another example of the media just taking us something crazy and running with it.
I'd like to suggest we came right to you and asked you about it.
No, not you guys, but someone published a story, right?
Yeah. National Enquirer did,
Don't be so defensive, no ma'am.
That's your job.
I'm just saying that's a crazy story that it's just crazy people, the stories that people come up with.
Okay, what is the truth then regarding you and the knife that you did not kill your wife with?
I did not kill my wife. I do not have a knife. I would not like it on a box. I would not like it wearing socks, green ham and eggs, ham I am.
Okay, so it's not true. Where do you suppose the germ of the story was that the National Enquirer inflated into this lie then?
Listen, who knows where these crazy things come from? But if I were to have the knife,
yes,
would you be interested in buying it?
Well, no. First of all,
make me an offer.
Well, the report says that you want $5 million, and I'm curious as to how you came up with that amount.
That's right, Dr. Evil. I want $5 million. If there were to be a knife, then that's the price I think I would like to get for it.
Okay. Why do you think it's worth that much?
Would you pay me that?
No, of course not. No. Absolutely not.
There's only one.
Right.
That is a pretty limited collectible right there.
Excuse me, aren't there millions of knives that you did not use to kill Nicole and Ron with?
Right, okay. But there's only one that was used to kill them, and that would be something to own, don't you think? About $5 million worth?
The knife that killed them?
Yeah, if I could get my hands on that.
Right.
Then don't you think that'd be worth having?
Would you get that from the guy who killed them?
Maybe. I could tell you, I have a conversation with him.
I see.
See what's up.
Uh-huh. Okay, you know him. You know the guy who killed them.
I have an idea of who could have been. But if I could get that, would you pay
$5 million? No. No,
the
certainly
no.
Not. Absolutely
all right.
Not.
$4 million.
No, not even close. Not even in the ballpark.
All right. $3.5 million.
No. Not.
Look, I'm losing money here.
You're not.
I stock them deep and sell them cheap.
It's probably a $20 knife.
It cost me more than that. It cost the guy more than that. Sure. It's a very nice knife. Let me take a look. Oh, that's a nice looking knife right there.
You said it's in prison with you?
No, of course not. That'd be crazy.
Well,
a
what
man
was that?
Would have to keep a knife up inside his bottom for years in, for it to be with me in prison.
That's true.
That explains a lot. Okay, so
but
that's
I think if you don't buy it, somebody will, I'm guessing. This may be hard to believe, but I've been selling a lot of memorabilia over the years.
Right.
I heard a guy once bought a giant naked picture of me and hung it in his house.
That happened. You were nude.
That happened.
That's how crazy some people are. I thought buying a murder knife was weird. Buying a picture of my penis is really weird.
You know, when you put it that way, you make it sound creepy, OJ.
You want this knife?
No.
It would be a good
fit. I'll give you a deal. I didn't clean it or nothing.
It'd be a good fit being next to the naked photo.
Be great for Halloween. Just put on a jumpsuit.
Complete the set.
Little shoe polish on the face. Next thing you know, you're the hit at your party.
There we go. Best idea ever. Good work.
I'm not sure if I want to survive the zombie invasion after last night's Walking Dead, by the way. It does not look like a good way to go. But we're going to talk about that episode with full spoiler alerts in effect with our friend Chris Hardwick coming up right after 7 o'clock this morning on the Kevin Bean Show. First, though, intern Jessica has joined us in studio. Woo-hoo! Hi, Jessica.
Hello.
Lisa's on vacation this week, so we wanted a female perspective on this story that we're about to talk about before we invite our listeners to call in. You're a very attractive, smart young lady.
And well, thank you.
You have apparently been invited a couple of times to be a bridesmaid in a wedding. Now, I have to ask, before we get into the reason we bring this up, is that great news? Are you excited when somebody asks you to be in your wedding, or do you go, oh my God, I wish I hadn't been asked, but I guess I have to do it because this is a friend of mine?
Well, I think at first it's like, oh wow, thank you so much for thinking about me. But then after you start to see their true colors and how crazy these women get, you know, I don't blame them, it's their wedding, but they can get insane.
And what is the deal? We've talked about this a lot on our show before. What do you think is the deal with brides and why they go so ridiculously over the top with every tiny detail, when really what's not important is the wedding, it's the marriage.
Right. And I think every woman always, or most women, always think about their wedding day and how perfect it's going to be. And they want it to be perfect. And if you are any, or if you do anything to make their day ruined by any means, then they will bite your head off.
They will kill you.
Yes, and I've dealt with that a couple times.
Now, what's up with bridesmaids' dresses?
Oh, my God. Okay, so I get it.
They always seem to be hideous.
Yes, the bride wants to be the most beautiful thing in that wedding, so they will pick out some ugly dresses for their bridesmaids. So
you think they do that on purpose?
Yes, totally on
purpose.
Yes.
Really?
I thought that was
a stereotype about bridesmaids' dresses. Used to be hideous, but in recent years, I thought they had fallen more in line with something that you could wear again after the
wedding. No, never you can wear bridesmaid dresses again. You're right.
Is that part of it? Is that you have to shell out for a dress you're never going to wear
again? Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing, too. It's expensive, and they expect you to pay for everything. And, you know, it sucks having to pay hundreds of dollars on these ugly bridesmaids dresses that, you know, you can try to sell it on eBay again, but it's not going to happen.
Wow. Real quick, before we get into this letter that's going to blow your mind, Jessica, tell me about the flash mob story.
Oh, God. So this one bride that I was a part of her wedding, she wanted to do a flash mob in the middle of her wedding, you know, and get up and dance and whatnot. And we had intensive, like, choreography sessions. And one girl, poor girl, could not pick up the choreography quick enough. So she got kicked out of the wedding.
All right. All right.
Yeah.
So what's not important is, hey, you're my friend and I want you to be there on my special day. What's important is I need this video to look good so we can put it on YouTube.
They
wanted
friends.
To be a YouTube sensation.
Yeah, and they were friends for years.
Wow.
And she got kicked out. She wasn't quick enough on the 1, 2, 3.
That's unbelievable. We're going to hear from you, our Kevin and Bean listeners, who have dealt with bridezillas. You were a bridesmaid, and it was horrible. Tell us why. 1-800-520-1067. And to get us started, there's a letter that came out a couple of weeks ago on Gawker.com. Somebody who was in a wedding sent this note from the bride so that they could put it on the internet anonymously. All right?
All right.
This is a note that was sent out from the bride to her 10 bridesmaids, by the way. And right there, I go, we've got troubles.
Yeah.
If you've got 10 bridesmaids, there's a problem.
What's average? 5 or 6?
Like 5.
Yeah. As you all know, I picked 10 wonderful ladies to stand by my side, share, and make happen my special day to Jake. Each of you individually have a reason and a special place in my heart why I picked you to be a bridesmaid. We've set our date for Saturday, August 31st, 2013 in Vail, Colorado. It seems far away, but it isn't, so the earlier planning, the better. You all have a big role in this wedding, so before we continue, I'm going to be setting some ground rules, and it's very important
for
you to...
I'm already out. I'm out. The ground rule thing. That's a bad sign.
It's a very bad sign. Ground rules, and it's very important for you to read and think about everything through before you accept this honor to be a bridesmaid.
Oh, I hate her.
I hate her already, too, and yeah. She hasn't even gotten into her list of demands.
It's an honor.
Our wedding party is really the most important people at the wedding besides myself and Jake, so we want every single one of our bridesmaids and grooms at our parties. I have 10, not 8, where 2 couldn't make it. So if you already know you can't make one of the parties, then we have to find someone else. Not to be harsh in the slightest, it would sad me, and of course you'll still be invited to our wedding. But it's different if you're not in the wedding party and you couldn't make it. We will give everyone well-advanced dates for the parties, and it will always fall on a weekend. The wedding, as I stated, will be in Vail. The engagement party will be in either New York or Connecticut, and the bachelorette party will be in Vegas.
What?
Now, you talked about the expense of the dress, Jessica. Yes. What about traveling all over the goddamn country to go to this lady's parties? And you've got to be able to make all of them or you can't be in the bridesmaid's party.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. I mean, I think they don't even care that you can't afford to do that.
No, and they don't care.
They, like, will end your friendship if you can't make it.
A few girls live out of town, so if there's going to be a problem with coming to either one, then I need to know now, because after this week, I don't want to be surprised. I would like everyone to send me any dates where they are going away or planning to go away after February. I want any dates from February on to the day of our wedding in August so that we know not to plan something when you're away. But after that, these dates are set in stone. Also, if money is tight and you can't afford to contribute to, say, the bachelorette party or won't be able to afford a dress, then we don't have time to deal with that. I'm sorry.
Wow.
Well said, by the way.
She's
right?
Not talking about airfare or anything else, right? Just
No. This includes flights as well. Everyone knows the states and where the parties are going to be. So if you won't be able to afford the flight, then it means you can't make the party, which ultimately means I can't have you as a bridesmaid. Obviously, we're going to get the best deals. We're going to be doing it in advance, blah, 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 blah. All right. If you're out of state and don't think you have to fly in for the fittings, we will work with you to find stores in your town. Oh, she is actually making some concession for the fittings, at least.
Just for the fitting.
I'm not going to harass you with wedding stuff every hour of every day, but if it's something important and takes you a week or even 2 to 3 days to get back to me, then see ya. I don't have time to wait around for responses. Everybody has a phone on them. It shouldn't take you more than a day to get back to me, even if you're out of the country.
Doesn't this just scream, hey, don't be my bridesmaid?
Can you
do girls do that?
Yes.
They'll do it?
Yeah. Girls are crazy.
Why? Why wouldn't every single one of the girls that got this email say, F you, bitch. No. Get married by yourself.
Exactly. Well, I don't know.
But they were all friends with this chick before.
Right.
Right. So but why at this point, right?
Bitch got no class.
We're going to take your calls, ladies. We want to hear from you if you've had bridezilla experiences and you're a bridesmaid. 1-800-520-1067 is our number. We'll take your calls in a minute. Last paragraph. Furthermore, ever since I can remember, I have dreamed about this day all my life, and I want to share it with the people that are most important to me. You only get one time to plan your dream wedding, and I couldn't pick a more amazing group of girls to make that dream come true. So please, what's stated above, think about it all, and by Wednesday, I need to know if everybody is 100% in and what I've asked about sending me dates, blah, 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 blah. If you want to get back to me before Wednesday, that's fine. Really think about everything I've said. This is really going to be the most epic wedding ever. So I hope you girls can share this special day with us.
So you click yes or no or...
Oh! F*** you!
I can't imagine wanting to know this woman, much less be in her wedding. Look, this is just before all this stuff gets started. Imagine what she'd be like when you go to these various parties and these events that she's having.
Bitch be crazy.
Every one of them, you would feel like you were in boot camp or something like that, wouldn't you?
Yeah, this is a nightmare. That just says you do not want to be part of my wedding.
Jessica, if this were your best friend in the world and you got this email, are you still in?
No.
Really?
You liar. No. You do it.
No, I don't think I could even afford it. And if she wouldn't accept that, then I guess she's not a great
friend.
Then
you're
out. Then I'm booted. Yeah. I'm out.
Wow. All right, 1-800-520-1067. Your run-ins with the bridezillas if you're a bridesmaid. And do you agree with Jessica that all bridesmaids' dresses are designed by the bride to look worse than them, to make sure that she's not upstaged? 1-800-520-1067.
Oh!
Welcome to our new segment called Bitches Be Crazy here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. We just read a letter that a bride-to-be sent to her 10 bridesmaids about all the ground rules, as she puts it, involved in being in her wedding. So we're taking your calls to find out what it's been like for you as bridesmaids, because I can't even – I can't imagine – I guess if it's somebody you're really close to –
I guess you want to be there, but you don't want it to be a nightmare, right?
Yeah, and I would, but I would guess you would know that about them by that point, don't you think so?
I would think so. I would think so. Let's take Camilla or Camilla, if that's possible, on line three to get us going here. 1-800-520-1067. What is your name?
Camilla.
Camilla.
Camilla. Okay, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. You have been a bridesmaid. Tell me about that.
Yes. Okay, I was a bridesmaid about 4 years ago. So I sent in my measurements, you know, I got fitted for the dress, haven't seen it yet. I'm about a size 8, you know, in dress.
Right.
I get the dress. First of all, it's a size 18.
All right. 18.
18, which
that's,
probably...
That's Honey Boo Boo's mom right there.
Maybe three more people inside there.
Wow. Okay, and then what happened? Well, how, so obviously it doesn't fit you. Now you have to get it. You have to get it tailored. But how did it look? Was it, Jessica was telling us that all bridesmaid dresses are ugly on purpose.
Yes, it was hideous on purpose. It was. It went all the way up to my neck, shoulder to shoulder, and then cut off at the shoulders. And then it was super tight. Like after I got it tailored, super tight to my knees, and then flared out.
Ugh.
Yeah. So you think she really did it on purpose just to make every so that she would look better because everyone else around her looks so bad?
I do. I honestly
okay.
do.
Good times. Fantastic. Thank you for the call. Let's go to Crystal on line two. This is going to rival the story that intern Jessica was telling us about somebody getting kicked out of the bridal party because they couldn't learn the choreography for the flash mob. Crystal, what happened to you?
Hi. Well, I was friends with this girl ever since we were 11. It had been like 15 years at this point.
Okay.
Her and her fiance had been trying to get pregnant forever. She's one of those girls where she has to have kids or she's going to die type person.
Right.
She was jealous that I was pregnant at the time, and I was almost 8 months pregnant, so I was pretty big, about to pop. She made me maid of honor because we had been best friends for so long, but because I was pregnant, she assumed I wouldn't want to drive around and do all the maid of honor duties, as she called it.
Right.
So first she demoted me from maid of honor to bridesmaid to another high school friend that she had only known for maybe a handful of years.
Is that so like, that's a big slap in the face, right? To get demoted?
Yeah, she didn't even really know this chick that well. You know, her and I were like family. So I thought, okay, whatever. I don't really care. Go to the bridal store to get my dress, pay for the dress, over $200. And then I asked her if I could put my hair up, because when you're pregnant, you can't dye your hair. And my roots had grown out, and it was disgusting.
All right. Right.
She wanted everybody's hair down. So I said, is there any way I can maybe just put it half up or something? Because I already am going to look like a fat cow going down the aisle.
Which so she's, well, I'm sure she smiled at when you said that.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, fat cow.
So, I wanted my hair up so that way I didn't look completely hideous. And because I asked that, she kicked me out of the wedding.
Oh, you're so lucky.
And then she didn't even pay me back for the bridesmaid's dress that I never even wore.
Did you guys stay friends after that?
No, we did not.
Wow. How about that? Friends since you were 11 and you basically broke up over the wedding. How about that?
Yeah, wow. We talked maybe a couple of times after that, but she just never was
never the same.
Again, so. You should have thought about that before you got pregnant.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you, Crystal. Appreciate that. Let's go to Becky, line four here on the Kevin and Bean Show, 1-800-520-1067. Love talking about bridezillas, by the way. Hi, Becky.
Good morning.
What happened to you?
Well, I just bowed out of the wedding that I was supposed to be a bridesmaid in yesterday. Because
oh, really?
Yeah, she was such a bridezilla.
So how do you do that? Do you text her? Do you email her? Do you call and leave a message when she's not there?
I texted her.
Texted her.
She talks to me.
Because what? I'm sorry?
I texted her.
Okay.
Telling her I wasn't going to be a part of it anymore.
And how did that go over?
Not very well.
She was happy.
What made her a bridezilla? What was she doing that made you want to run from this wedding so much?
Well, from the beginning, she wanted all of us to wear the same hairdo and wear red eyeshadow, which would look cool on Lady Gaga, even. So, what that was about. And she wanted all of her bridesmaids to pay for their bouquets and dinners at the reception.
Wow.
Wait, at the wedding reception, the bridesmaids were supposed to pay for their own food?
Yes, because she wanted money to purchase a second dress for the reception.
Wow.
Wow.
I think you made the right call.
I think you made the right call, too. Thanks for the call. Bitches be crazy. If we've learned one thing today, that's it.
Did you guys watch Walking Dead last night? Walking Dead. So good. So good.
We'll talk to Chris Hardwick, host of The Talking Dead, coming up right after the top of the hour. Comedian Doug Stanhope on the program. And who's your girlfriend from Alphas that's going to be here, too?
Oh,
Rachel. Azita Genizada.
Oh.
She plays Rachel.
She's so good on that show. That show's been brilliant this season.
It has. Well, she's going to
come
on down.
Season finale tonight. Season finale. Lee Rosen faces Stanton Parrish. Finally.
The showdown we've all been waiting for.
And Lee's bleeding out, meanwhile, in the truck. I don't know what's going on there. It's all bad. Bad things are happening.
So, a lot of shows still to come here on the Kevin and Bean Show for a Monday, 6:54. Ralph's got the showbiz beat. What's going on?
Well, before I get to the showbiz news, how about a little Halloween event? Looking for something to do to celebrate Halloween? This is awesome. They do an amazing job over there at the LACMA, the L.A. County of Modern Art. They just... they put on this amazing costume ball every year. This is the 9th annual ball this year. And this year, it's inspired by the work of legendary filmmaker Stanley Kubrick, who's one of my favorites. So not only do you get to go to the costume party, which is amazing, 21 and older, please, but it is a chance to see some annotated scripts of Kubrick's while he was making the films, set models, costumes, props. A lot more from this director's amazing, prolific, and distinguished career, from such movies as Eyes Wide Shut, 2001, A Space Odyssey, The Shining, Clockwork Orange, some of my favorite films done by Stanley Kubrick.
If you'd like, Glenda be there?
Glenda is not attending this year, I do not believe. For more details, you can go to www.lacma.org/Kubrickball, or you can be one of the, it's Halloween. Let's make it the 13th caller. See what I did there? 13. Unlucky. Scary number. 13. Scary.
I don't know that it's scary, but all right.
Triskaidekaphobia.
It's scarier than 12 or 14.
That's true. 1-800-520-1067 is the number to call. Caller number 13 gets a pair of passes to attend the LACMA Halloween Ball. They really do a nice event. I think last year's was Tim Burton, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, right.
They had all his costumes and props and original stop-motion figures from some of his animated projects. So, cool event. Glad to be able to give that away. Let's talk about the top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. As expected, since we are in the Halloween season, Paranormal Activity 4 was the number one movie at the box office.
And that's just outtakes from the first three Paranormal movies, right?
No, it's brand new. There's things in the house. What's going on in there? They could have released Paranormal 2 again and put a slap to 4 on it.
Could have.
And they would have said, oh, this is great. I love this.
I think, I didn't click on it, but I think I saw the headline this morning that Paranormal 5 has been greenlighted already.
Of course.
It is happening.
Of course, sure. It has. Got to make some money there. $30.2 million made it number one. Argo was second with $16.6 million. Kevin, you finally saw that this weekend.
I saw Argo this
weekend.
Yeah, very good.
Great movie.
Really good.
Hotel Transylvania 3D was third. Taken 2 was fourth. Alex Cross, starring Tyler Perry as a hard-bitten detective, is out there fighting crime. $11.8 million. Apparently, people didn't buy it. Have you read any of the reviews? They're hilarious.
Not. Really?
They're so funny.
Yeah.
Sinister 6, Here Comes the Boom was 7. Pitch Perfect, number 8. Number 9 was Frankenweenie, and then Looper, running out the top 10 at the box office this weekend. I warned you about this. No one paid me attention. I tried to get it on board. I tried to get a little hype going to try to protect our record, but no, we lost it over the weekend.
What are you talking about? What record?
I warned you that they were having a Star Trek convention in England, and they were trying to bust our record for having the most number of people in one location dressed up as Star Trek characters.
Right. What did you want us to do about that? It was already happening in England this weekend.
To rise up and
do what?
Take arms.
No, I want them to take that title from us. It's a dork title.
The Brits have the title now. The Brits have
Fine.
The record.
Let them have it. Let them have it. That's one we don't
Where's
need,
Where's your
Rob.
Pride? Where's your USA pride?
That's one
USA!
We don't need. We don't
USA! USA! USA!
We don't need.
USA!
We don't need that record.
At the Star Trek convention in Las Vegas earlier this year, we set the record with 1,040 characters dressed up as Star Trek characters. This weekend in London at the Star Trek convention, 1,083 Trekkers stepped forward and stole the record away from us.
Oh, dude, lame.
Once again, another place where America's just dropping the ball.
I'm fine with that.
And most accumulated Star Trek characters. This happened too late for us to talk about last week, but Friday afternoon, Michael Lowen stopped by his daughter Lindsay's house, along with her manager, her entertainment lawyer, and her defense attorney, and her boyfriend, to have an intervention for Lindsay, step in and get her to seek some treatment. So Lindsay opened the door and was so taken by their gesture that she immediately called the police and had them dissipated from her property.
Wow. That's not how interventions are supposed to go.
I think you're supposed to get in the door before you start the intervention.
But didn't she just say she never wanted to talk to her dad again? And then he shows up at the door?
Yeah. But Michael was, according to him, attributing that to the fact that she's surrounded by drug addicts and alcoholics in her inner circle, and that she's not really in the best mindset to be making decisions about her career or her family life.
If it were anyone other than Michael Lowen, I would believe it was just a father showing some concern for his daughter and really trying to help her get healthy. But I feel like he was just there because he felt like this is another way for him to get on TMZ.
Well, look, I can understand your position, but he was joined by her manager, her entertainment lawyer, her criminal defense attorney, her boyfriend. These are all people who also think she's in serious danger and they're trying to do something. So he's looking for TMZ coverage, he was doing the right thing for the right reasons.
No, the right thing would
have
been...
So whatever his motivation was, it was the right step.
He should have sent those other people to the door and he should have not gone. He's the one who made the thing break down because she hates him so much. Would have been had a much better chance of being successful had all those other people shown up for the intervention and they would have been let in the door.
I don't get the sense that she was on board for an intervention or going to get help regardless of who came to her front door.
Yeah, possibly.
She said in a statement, I don't have a drug and alcohol problem.
Well, that's good news.
I don't need an intervention.
That's good news.
So I think whoever brought up the idea would have been met with the same response, which apparently was police response.
Hmm. Nice job, Dr. Drew.
So it all broke down. her boyfriend, actually, Josh Chun, who is a personal trainer, he confirmed this weekend that he is dating the star, and regarding the intervention, he said he likes to think of himself as the best influence she has right now. I've been trying to get Lindsay to focus, but how do you get her to focus with all the stuff going around her? So, meanwhile, Lindsay is due in Manhattan criminal court tomorrow after she allegedly fled the scene after she tagged that guy in the knee with her SUV outside that hotel. So, more troubles for Linz.
Mm.
Poor Linz. I feel bad for Linz, because people call her Linz.
No one calls her that.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Christopher Lloyd from Taxi and Back to the Future is 74 years old today. Actor Jeff Goldblum is 60. Bob Odenkirk celebrates his 50th birthday today. Carlos Mencia turns 45. Shaggy is 44. We got a little Wasn't Me on the show today if we're going to celebrate Shaggy's birthday.
How little? Hook it up, Omar.
A ton of it. No. I want a ton of it.
Okay.
Spike Jones, very talented director, gave us Adaptation and Where the Wild Things Are. He's 43. Jesse Tyler Ferguson. How funny is he on Modern Family?
He's the best.
He's brilliant. The whole cast. 37 years old today. Zach Hansen of Hansen is 27. And Jonathan Lipnicki. He was in Stuart Little and Jerry Maguire. And then his career, well, it slowed after those films.
To a crawl.
For 22 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Monday morning, comedian Doug Stanhope joins us later. Also, Harvey Levin from inside the TMZ newsroom. First, though, if you did not watch last night's Walking Dead episode 2 of the current season, then you should go away for like 7 minutes because we're going to be talking about it. In fact, this is a spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert, spoiler alert, spoiler alert.
If you did watch it, I hope you always, every week, stick around right after that on AMC for Talking Dead, hosted by our good friend Chris Hardwick. Chris joins us on the phone now. Hey, good morning, Chris. How are you?
Gentlemen, and I appreciate the huge spoiler drop that you played before, because people get so they will murder you if you spoil something.
I know. And believe me, we have this conversation all the time, because what kinds of shows are acceptable to talk about the next day? I mean, there is such thing as water cooler talk, where you want to talk about what you saw on TV last night, but not everybody watches everything in real time or even on the same night anymore, so what do you do?
I know. I've had people on the podcast. I had Julie Benz on the podcast, and her character on Dexter died 2 years ago, and people were like,
spoiler alert! You haven't gotten around to it in 2 years. It's probably not on your priority list.
Agreed. We think maybe a couple of days for a show like this. Maybe a couple of days.
So, Chris, here's where I want to start. First of all, is there anything like this? And we may have asked you this last year when we had John, but is there anything like this on television, like The Talking Dead, where you have a live show that comes on right after something airs just for fans to talk about, or is this a new concept?
Well, it, Watch What Happens, I think, was the original.
They did it for The Hills, didn't they?
No, they did it for, was it Real Housewives? Real Housewives, I think.
Who knows?
It was some sort of a Real Housewife.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
And how did you decide, with all the offers that you get of things to do and as busy as you already are with 20 other jobs, how did you decide this is one that you were going to commit to every week?
I went after this one because I loved the comics, the Walking Dead comics. I loved the first season of Walking Dead, and it just, I mean, this basically, it's weird that I get paid to do something that I would already do, which is talk about the show with my friends and freak out about it and possibly take calls in my living room.
You do seem genuinely excited to be there and to talk about that show.
I am. I love the show, and I don't think every show needs an after show. It's just like a show like Walking Dead is so dense with horrible things that are happening to these people.
That's true.
It's sort of like therapeutic for people afterwards to kind of sort through their emotions.
Starting with Herschel's bloody stump. What was that about? I expected that foot to start kicking ass at some point.
the stump. I mean, we had a hashtag thing on the show last night. Which was one-legged Herschel. It helped diffuse. Like, people felt so bad about what happened to Herschel that it kind of helped them feel a little bit better about.
Helped
them
vent and get over it.
To vent a little bit, because it really is. Because now Rick is in this position where.
Wait, hold on.
Spoiler alert.
Okay, back to you.
Okay, great. Well, we kind of spoiled.
Hold on.
Spoiler alert.
Okay, go ahead.
Oh, that's right. Oh, yeah, everyone on the show dies in this episode. Rick's sort of in this position where it feels like a lot of his humanity's gone because he's having to make these really tough decisions to keep everyone alive, and one of them was, like, without even thinking. It's like Hatchet, you know, Herschel's leg. So.
How great was it when his wife said, "What are your options?" Plural. And he said, "Kill him." That was fantastic. I LOL'd.
I did. Wait a minute. Did you ROFLOL or did you just an LOL?
That was great.
I think one of the fascinating things, this is the voice of Chris Hardwick from The Talking Dead.
Spoiler alert.
Which airs on AMC after The Walking Dead. One of the fascinating things about this show is the big picture, the long view of what people do when the government collapses and when they're left on their own to form basically new hierarchies. And Andrew Lincoln, who is so brilliant on this show as Rick, I mean, I don't know why this guy hasn't won every award that's offered in television, to see his character evolve week by week. And last night, did you feel like he just took a giant step forward in what he was willing to do and how he was reconciling it in his own mind, Chris?
Huge, because, well, you want to hit the spoiler alert trap again?
Spoiler alert.
Huge, because not only does he kill two people, but then his wife actually finally reaches out to him, and it's clear he just has nothing. There's just nothing in there for him. And so with a lot of shows, you know, usually the characters sort of settle and they kind of remain the same. Their alignment is pretty much the same for the whole show, and you kind of know how they're going to react to stuff. But in this situation, these people are reacting to this horrible external world, and you kind of have no idea, kind of like in life, what it is going to do to them.
Yeah,
and you see everyone just sort of change. And Rick, who's supposed to be like, he's the protagonist, of like he's the guy that you're supposed to sort of get behind. And now you are kind of scared of him because you just have no idea what's happening.
Yeah, he doesn't seem capable of even allowing himself to have any kind of personal connections with people. Everything is all business. It's almost like he's a robot at this point. He can't deal with people as humans. Refresh my memory. What happened between Rick and Laurie that broke them so irretrievably?
Well, for one thing, his best friend put it in her, which he was fine with, actually.
There was that.
but then she started getting all up in his business about, Shane's getting crazy, because Shane started to get crazy. And so a lot of fans were like, what the F, Lori? You know, like, so then he and Shane had this confrontation, and you know, obviously he took him out, and then Zombie Shane.
Spoiler alert.
Big, huge spoiler. And so it just they're basically their relationship just got dragged through the gravel.
Does he blame her for all of that?
I think a lot of people do blame her. I think a lot of people do blame Lori for it. And he, maybe he blames her, maybe he doesn't. It's just the whole situation is so messy. And it's, like, as a guy, this is like soap opera drama. Like, as a guy, whenever you would see he and Shane in a room together, or just anywhere together, and he didn't know yet, there was just that, like, oh my God.
Yeah.
When he
finds out.
Oh my God.
By the way, when we're talking about the collapse of civilization, it was really a great scene last night when Lori says to him, hit the spoiler alert for me, Kevin.
Spoiler alert.
When Lori says to him, what are we supposed to do? Go get an attorney and get a divorce and split our assets? I mean, that just doesn't exist anymore. I mean, basically, you either stay together or one of you wanders off into the wilderness and risks getting eaten by zombies. I mean, you're pretty much stuck. So,
Zombie divorce court.
Sure. I have to ask. Producer Dave wants me to ask you, Chris, do you hate Carl as much as Kevin does? Because all Kevin tunes into The Walking Dead for every week is to hope to see that little F die.
Carl needs a bullet between the eyes, right?
No, Carl's going to be like John Connor. Carl is going to be...
I'm not buying it. I'm not, but he's a dick. Carl's a dick.
He's got to be a little bit of a dick.
He needs to eat lead. Come on, Chris.
But Kevin, what about Carl stepping up on last night's episode, though?
He needs to eat lead.
He basically saved Herschel's life.
What is the zombie apocalypse doing to you, Kevin? 12-year-old? I mean, come on, man. You were like that before, right?
Yeah, I was. Hey, Chris, I have one last question for you, and that is the old woman who's somehow learned to cut her hair still, is cutting into the zombie, and somebody's watching her. You get that scene where somebody's watching her. Is that setting up next week for what's coming?
First of all, I think Carol is really hot. Like, I hope she and Daryl make it happen, because I think she's super hot.
No, I'm being serious.
Yes, okay. I am. We do know that the governor is coming this season. If you read the comic books, you know what that means, and that's very exciting. We know that there's another community called Woodbury, if you watch Talking, well, this isn't a huge spoiler because he's been published.
Spoiler alert.
We know Merle's coming back too. So I don't know who's peeking around behind the tree, but it obviously was some sort of a sentient being and not a zombie. So it could be Governor, it could be someone from Woodbury, it could be Merle, I don't know.
All right.
Or it could be the guy that they just threw into the yard who was looking back like, did they miss me yet? That was brutal.
That's a tough way to go.
I would
right
run
there.
If I were you.
Here's the thing about The Walking Dead. It started out of the gate great and has just gotten better season after season. And you can't say that about a lot of shows on TV. And The Talking Dead is absolutely essential to stick around and watch afterwards on AMC. Hey, last question for you, Mr. Hardwick. And again, thank you so much for your time.
Sure.
Is this in LA? Is there a way people can be in the audience if they want to come down and see you in person for the show?
There is. I don't know the email address off the top of my head, but if you want to come back, I will have it so that people can come.
Okay.
Shoot it. We actually shoot now on Craig Ferguson's stage, moved to a bigger set, and so we're on Ferguson's old stage.
Oh, fantastic. So right in town. That's great.
Yeah, All right. Next week, Mohawk guy from NASA is going to be there. Bubba Kradowski is going
to
be on the show.
Mohawk guy from NASA is going to be on the show.
That's awesome.
Great. We're buddies, and he's great.
The Talking Dead airs Saturday nights at 11 or 8 right after The Walking Dead on AMC. And, of course, you should follow all things Chris Hardwick at Nerdist.com or on Twitter at Nerdist. You're the best, Chris. Thanks for the time, man.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Andrew Siciliano joins us from DirecTV's Red Zone and the NFL Network coming up in about 15 minutes, maybe a little less than that here on the Kevin Beach Show. We don't have time for whatever it is.
Goddamn Gangnam Style yesterday in football. That's all I know.
There was a lot of that, wasn't there? It's very popular.
Everybody's celebrating with the Gangnam Style dance.
Yeah.
Some BS right there.
We don't have much time here, but we do have time for one.
That's that info beam.
Just
how
one?
Well,
dare you?
This one stands alone.
The cheese stands alone?
As being spectacular enough that we have many questions, and it's very troubling.
For people who are joining the show late, who aren't familiar with Bean's particular
Asperger's
defect, can you explain to him what the problem is?
He doesn't have any idea if the person that he's talking to has any interest whatsoever in his topic.
He's incapable of reading his audience.
No feedback from the audience. It's just blocked. So he just thinks something's interesting. He just starts spewing it out. It's just out there, and everybody...
As everyone does, by the way.
So what we... Nope. Because most people will couch it or introduce the topic.
They'll get a thought and they'll say, would this be interesting to the other person I'm talking to? And then they decide whether to say it or not based upon that judgment.
Now, I think
you skipped that whole step.
I think he took that into effect and knowing I would hate it went with this conversation. So I went to Walgreens yesterday.
Already not interested.
He just leaves that hanging. So, you know what I mean? Like, now I have to...
What did you get? What did you do at Walgreens? That's the response he's expecting.
I was all excited because my sweet Taylor Swift has some new toys in the store.
Merchandise. I didn't say toys. I said there was new merchandise to promote the new album. That was available only at Walgreens.
So he goes to Walgreens for that.
Oh.
I know, right?
In just a trench coat.
Right. And then he tells me how it went tragically wrong.
It's already tragically wrong.
He went to Walgreens to buy some new Taylor Swift merch.
How could this be any more wrong than it is?
He says these words, and this is spoken with outrage, not a questioning of himself. He says these words. I was really upset that the T-shirts didn't come in anything larger than an adult medium.
Come on, how about something for us big girls? That's all I'm saying.
Oh, man.
I was upset. And it is like bad on them for not knowing that they're going to have one
giant creepy guys out there who are desperate to wear a Taylor Swift T-shirt.
It's all their fault and their bad because they didn't see that coming.
Why do they only have medium? They don't have pedophile. Why don't they have pedophile size?
It's not pedophile size. It's just something for those of us that are a little bigger than the average Taylor Swift fan.
Come on, that stands on its own, right? They probably thought about the fact that they said, should we make XL or double XL? No, that's disgusting. Giant double XL guy wearing a Taylor Swift T-shirt? I won't even entertain that thought, said the manufacturer.
Bean was angry.
I still am. I was able to buy the bracelet, and I was able to buy the little pen and pencil set and a couple other little trinkets, but no T-shirt for me on this album. I'm very disappointed.
Hello? And they didn't have my shade of Taylor Swift lipstick.
That's that info game.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:39.
Is Foster the People putting an elephant down at the end of that song? What's happening?
What's happening at the end of that?
It always makes me sad when I hear it. Comedian Doug Stanhope joins us next hour on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, our old friend Andrew Siciliano joins us, DirecTV's Red Zone channel on Sundays, and of course, NFL Total Access during the week on NFL Network. Hey, Andrew, how are you, man?
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Very good. Thank you.
So good to talk to you. Ooh, he's got a sexy still-in-bed voice. Oh, I like it.
Is it the I just woke up voice?
Andrew, with the exception of the one obvious blowout where the Ravens just gave up and laid down early, everything else seemed like it was so close. I mean, you couldn't have had a busier day in the red zone with all those games that ended up being decided on a field goal.
Well, yes and no. Two things. Number one, the game you mentioned, the Ravens and Texans, is the biggest headline of the day. Because they were the only two teams in the AFC that had winning records. And that was your playoff rematch from a year ago. Granted, the Texans had their real quarterbacks this time, and they were a little bit more healthy. But that was the game where you say, especially when you consider that the Patriots had such a hard time later in the day with the Jets, you look at that game and say, I mean, this is your AFC championship game right here. We'll see these two teams play again. How good is one of these two teams, and can one of them win the Super Bowl potentially from the AFC? And the Ravens just got run off the field. Yeah. And this comes after the fact when last week the Texans were run off that same field by the Packers. So that's the one game where you say, well, I guess the Texans really are good, but are the Ravens really that bad without Ray Lewis? I mean,
I was going to say, besides Ray Lewis being out, what else impacted them so greatly yesterday?
Well, I mean, a lot. Ladarius Webb and Ray Lewis are both out for the year. So your best linebacker, although aging and not nearly as good as he used to be, and your best corner, and the guy that has tied for the league in interceptions the last 2 years. So those two guys are out. But it doesn't explain how they laid down and died like that. Ray Lewis is not a 30-point swing, so that is a big head-scratcher. And the other thing was, in the afternoon, we only had two games.
Yeah, so the red zone was quite slow.
It was.
You just go back and forth.
it was different.
All right, let's go to the other game.
And it's the same thing next weekend. Why is that, Andrew? Why the change in schedule?
I can't answer that. I really don't have a good answer for it. They had two, and some of it is just, you know, the way you make the schedule, you have to – I mean, look, there's so much that goes into making the schedule with 32 teams and 31 buildings and juggling for this and for that, and teams need this day off because of the circus coming to town, and another team needs this day off because Madonna's got to come to town and do something stupid on stage and everyone's going to boo. You know, it's they have to juggle it, and sometimes that's what you get. But the two games we did have – both went to overtime, which nobody saw coming. So it actually was fun.
Yeah, totally. Look, the Patriots really needed to win this game after losing to Seattle. You know, they.
But are they happy with this, even though it's a win?
No, not at all. I mean, look,
they should have blown out the Jets.
I don't know about blown out, but it shouldn't have gone to overtime. And the mistakes they made, I mean, fumbling, you know, on that kickoff with 2 minutes left to give the Jets the chance, which they took to take the lead. They just didn't look like a team that scares anybody. Their defense is, what's the word I'm looking for? Horrible.
Suspect. Horrible. Horrible's probably more accurate.
It was horrible last year, and they drafted a couple of guys early, which they thought would help turn things around. And it did early in the season, but as we progress, and as the injuries, to be fair, mount for them as well, especially in the secondary, they don't look like a team that scares anybody. A couple of weeks ago, they were a team that scored 40, 50 points. Now they look like a team that you say, all right, I know how I could beat them.
Yeah,
went out there and did it.
Right. This is the voice of Andrew Siciliano here on the Kevin and Bean Show from the DirecTV Red Zone channel and the NFL Total Access on the NFL Network at 4. Is it my imagination, or does it seem like there are a lot more fumbles and turnovers this year?
Wow, that's a great
question. I don't know if they keep stats on that, but it seems like every game I'm watching, the ball is just that nobody can hang on to the ball.
They do keep stats on that, and you have now given me a research project for later this afternoon.
There you go. Some homework for you.
I will say this. Before yesterday, you know, heading into yesterday's games, here's a good stat. They 51 of those games were one-possession games, and clearly you had a bunch yesterday as well. So every game is closer. So maybe those turnovers seem magnified, but I'll look into it for you.
Yeah, there definitely is a lot of parity in the NFL. Let me ask you one more thing. I watched a lot of the Giants-Redskins game yesterday, and RG3, to me, looks like a guy who is moving at a different speed than everybody else on the field. Like, everyone around him seems to be in molasses when he gets the ball. This dude is unbelievable, right?
He's unbelievably fast, and he's unbelievably good at throwing the football as well, which is such a rare and unique combination. He's unbelievably smart on the field as well. He has the poise and the leadership of somebody with a decade more experience in the league than him.
It usually takes him a lot longer than this to catch on.
Look, the guy's incredible, and I'm not prone to blowing things out of proportion when it comes to rookies, but talk to the Giants afterwards. The Giants afterwards said, he's the best quarterback we faced all year, and honestly, I think it was OC Manure said, I'm upset the football gods put him in our division. that was an exact quote. I mean, the guy is ridiculous, and you hesitate to blow things out of proportion, but with each passing week, look, coming into yesterday, the only quarterbacks with better ratings, which is a weird stat to be honest with you, and it's hard to explain, but the only quarterbacks with better ratings were Aaron Rodgers and Ben Roethlisberger.
Wow.
Yeah,
so, I mean, he's doing something right, and then he goes out there, and he gave them the chance. I mean, you know, a minute 45 left, he throws the touchdown pass. They could have, would have, should have won on the road in New York. Now, granted, Eli Manning has been there before. He's won two Super Bowls, so he saw his move and raised him, and the Redskins lost. But the guy is absurd. He's absurdly talented, and he has Olympic-style speed, to answer your
question. All right, let's talk tonight, Detroit Lions, Chicago Bears.
It's going to rain, allegedly, like bad thunderstorms in Chicago.
Will that cancel the game, or?
You just got traffic and weather on the 5.
Yeah, we did.
but that doesn't favor either team. They both play in bad weather.
They both play in bad weather. Yes, that is correct. Like Yankee Stadium, when I complained about the short right field force, people remind me both teams get to hit at it.
Right.
So I like the Bears. They're a better team, and they are at home. The Lions, you know, beat Ralph's Eagles last week, but they can't really stop anybody, at least not, you know, without cheap shots every now and then. And the Lions are down to, like, three healthy cornerbacks. So I think Jay Cutler makes some plays downfield to Brandon Marshall.
Gotcha. Another unbelievable weekend of NFL football. Andrew Siciliano is there for every score in the DirecTV Red Zone channel. You should go to DirecTV.com and get it. It's not too late. And, of course, NFL Total Access. We'll see you on the TV on the NFL Network this afternoon at 4. Thanks, Andrew. Go back to sleep, man.
Was it that obvious?
We're playing music by robots now.
Ralph's doing the robot. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:57.
Comedian Doug Stanhope joins us in the studio coming up next. Here's all you need to know about Doug. His new album is called Before Turning the Gun on Himself. Yeah. Every time you have Doug Stanhope on, it could be his last ever radio interview.
You just hope he's good and liquored up. That's when he's at his happiest. You don't want him in here sober. I'm hoping he's been juicing all morning.
That's no good for anyone. Ralph is here. Time for the Showbiz Beat now on a Monday.
Before I get to Showbiz news, how about a pair of passes to a very special K-Rock advanced screening of a film that looks terrific, by the way. It's called Flight.
Yay!
Stars Denzel Washington, John Goodman, Don Cheadle. I think it's a new law in Hollywood. You cannot make a movie unless John Goodman is in it now.
That's true.
Apparently that's the way it works. This looks terrific. An airline pilot saves a flight from crashing, but an investigation into the malfunction of the plane reveals something very troubling for the pilot himself, and the passengers, and the people who run the airlines. It just looks terrific.
Those look good.
Of course, I guess sort of generally based on the Sully Sullenberger phenomenon. This is a similar situation where Denzel plays a pilot who's able to bring a plane in and save a lot of the passengers, and yet they find out some things about him, and his life goes under the microscope. The scrutiny is difficult for him to deal with. Just looks fascinating. I cannot wait to see Flight. And if you feel the same way, call right now. 1-800-520-1067. First five callers who get through will get a pair of passes to our special K-Rock advanced screening of Flight. While we're talking about movies, it is Monday. Let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. As expected, Paranormal Activity 4 was number one at the box office. Came in at $30.2 million in its debut weekend. Argo was number two, also starring John Goodman. He's in there as well. $16.6 million. Hotel Transylvania, 3D, $13.5 million. Taken 2 was fourth. And Alex Cross, in its debut, did not do as well as expected. $11.8 million. Hard to believe people didn't rush to see Tyler Perry playing a hard-bitten crime-solving detective.
Perhaps they should have put John Goodman in that movie in some capacity.
Perhaps they should have put Tyler Perry in a dress and let Madea solve the crime.
Hallelujah. I got the sniper.
Sinister was sixth. Here Comes the Boom. Seventh. Pitch Perfect. Frankenweenie. And Looper. Rounding out top ten at the box office. I'm surprised they didn't have Tyler Perry play an MMA fighter in Here Comes the Boom. That way it just would have been...
Could have been in all of them.
Completely believable film. This is a great story. Mama June Thompson of Here Comes Honey Boo Boo fame was celebrating her daughter's 16th birthday at a bar called the Pickle Barrel Cafe near their home.
Sure.
And according to the story, she was singing karaoke all night, including Ooh. I'm the Real Slim Shady by Eminem.
Oh, no.
Die. Video, please.
No.
What, are you kidding me? No. That's the greatest thing that's ever happened. And no one seemed to have captured it on a flip phone.
You're right. Everybody gets video of everything that happens. Where is that?
The video of Mama June singing I'm the Real Slim Shady at a karaoke at the Pickle Barrel Cafe?
Got to ask Harvey when we talk to him next hour. He's got to be on this.
He's got to get some.
Here's some chocolate, Fatso.
So little Chubb is 16 now?
Yeah.
Wow, they sugar up fast.
Yes, they do, little kids.
They grow out. She's not the Real Slim anything.
No.
More reality show news. Kate Gosselin got fired recently. I mentioned it a couple weeks ago. She lost her job blogging for couponcabin.com. Well, she may not be out of a job for long. Vivid Entertainment has stepped up, as they often do, and they're offering Kate a job as a naked host to introduce award-winning programming on their new cable channel, Vivid TV.
they would like Kate to be the nude host of some of their programming.
Do they have hotter chicks that can do that?
I'd look at her. She's pretty hot. The company's president, Steve Hirsch, says, "We have binders of women who would love the job, but you're definitely our first choice." So, we'll have to wait and see. And this is unfair, I think. Did you hear about the brouhaha happened on Friday over there on the set of Community? Chevy Chase has been slapped around again by the press regarding something he did, his behavior over there in Community. He dropped the N-word on the set.
Ooh.
But here's the thing. He was talking about his character on the show and how he is uncomfortable with the fact that it has become increasingly bigoted as the series has gone on.
Oh, he doesn't like that.
He says it's supposed to be a comedy, and this character is becoming increasingly bigoted on the show.
Well, they have made Pierce extremely unlikable, that's for sure.
And he says that aspect of his character is really out of line. He goes, what's next? You're going to have me say the N-word? And now the press has picked up and run with it, saying Chevy Chase is throwing around the N-word in the set of the of Community. And that's obviously not the case. He did quickly apologize to everyone on the set who may have been offended by the word, but he was in a rant about the direction of his character, and that's why he dropped the word as an example of something his character shouldn't say.
Come on, man. You're missing the point.
I think people are missing the point. Today's celebrity birthday is Jonathan Lipnicki from Jerry Maguire is 22 years old today.
I don't like it.
You don't like Jonathan Lipnicki? Everyone loves him. You
might. I don't want it.
Zach Hansen of Hansen is 27 years old. How about that, Jeff?
This isn't funny.
I'm sorry. Jesse Tyler Ferguson from Modern Family is 37.
This is not my kind of comedy.
Modern Family's not your kind of comedy. Spike Jones, director of Where the Wild Things Are, an adaptation, is 43.
Chevy's out.
Carlos Mencia is 45, or is he? A listener sent me an email and said, is that really his birthday, or did he steal it from someone else? Bob Odenkirk's 50. Jeff Goldblum is 60. Christopher Lloyd of Taxi and Back to the Future fame is 74. And Shaggy is 44 years old today. Shaggy!
To be a true player, you have to know how to play. She say a night can be, so say a day. Never admit to a word where she say. And if she claim her, you tell her, baby, no way.
But she caught me on the counter.
It wasn't me.
Saw me banging on the sofa.
It wasn't me.
I even had her in the shower.
It wasn't me.
She even caught me on camera.
It wasn't me.
She saw the marks on my shoulder.
It wasn't me.
Heard the words that I told her.
It wasn't me.
Heard the screams getting louder.
It wasn't me.
Hope somebody's alarm just went off.
Maybe it's not his birthday today. Keeps denying everything. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Come on, let's play it again, Kevin. You want to hear it again, right?
Yeah.
Oh, hey, it's your favorite.
Badly. But we have Doug Stanhope here, so we can't
Doug
really get
Stanhope has
that.
Joined us.
Good
on the
morning.
Hey, Doug. How are you, my friend?
The last thing I remember last night was saying, screw Roadrunner Records. Tell them I'm suffering from exhaustion. There's no way I'm getting up in 4 hours.
No, it's
but
a,
I,
it's
I,
a
I
bad deal.
I can't do that. I can't be like, we're just talking about
smoking. My, are you on yet?
Oh, sorry. My... All right.
You having trouble with the headphones?
Yeah, they went out. I just, but I thought I went out. Like, I'm fine.
You're fine. You sound good.
Yes, we were just talking about Dice Clay smoking on air.
Yeah.
And how I wish I could just be that guy that could go, screw Kevin and Bean. I ain't getting up. Tell them to do their show later.
It happens a lot, and we wish we could do our show later.
They don't make that option available to us.
But yeah, that's the irony, if it is irony, is that I am still drunk. I won't even say hungover. Still drunk from I was out late podcasting, but I did drop your name.
You did.
By the way, no one is impressed with I was out late podcasting. That is not a rager story.
Oh no! It's
you don't know the way he podcasts.
Yeah, I'm just saying. Well. When I dropped your name because they have way more listeners on podcasting now.
No question about that.
Doug, how old are you? Because you look about 45. 65. You look 65.
Yeah. Right? Oh, I feel it.
I mean,
especially
you're really,
in the morning,
you're wringing the years out of your body, man.
Oh yeah, they're dropping quickly.
I remember last time you came in, I smelled alcohol before you came in the room, I think.
Is this a way for a grown man to live? Please say yes.
It's worked for me so far.
There you go. That's the
but again, the only I've only met you guys twice, and it was both at 7:45 in the morning.
Yeah, it's not
that's your problem. I don't have the problem. You have the problem for having to be awake every single day at this hour.
Yeah, no, I agree.
That's sucking the life out of you quicker than having a great time every night is sucking the life out of me.
You seem like a guy who would not live in California just because the no smoking laws are too restrictive. There are a lot of places in the country you could go where you can still smoke in a restaurant, for instance.
Yeah. Oh, those places are real, real bad. Yeah. We just did a tour of the Southeast, and yeah, there was places like, wow, you can still smoke in a bar here? And you're like, I don't want to go to a bar here. This is scary as heck.
That's a sign?
As heck, I said, I just caught myself.
That's a sign that you need to stay away if people are smoking?
There's a few places. Michigan was, up until a year and a half ago, Michigan still has all those great old diners and you could smoke in them. Now that's gone.
Yeah.
But Alabama, I think, you can still.
Alabama, yeah.
Doug is back in town performing at the Ontario Improv Wednesday night. Tickets available through DougStanhope.com. You're also going to be Thursday night at the Irvine Improv. Tickets available, same location there. Do you play a lot around L.A.? Is this a rare treat for your fans?
Somehow we crammed it all in the next month. Because I'm doing the Comedy Store November 31 or 29.
29 and 30.
Yeah. And then Rogan and I are doing the End of the World show on the 12/21/12 at the Wiltern with Joey Coco Diaz.
That's going to be great.
So there's a lot of around L.A. coming up, but you can do that here because
it's a big area.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure. What's the deal on before turning the gun on himself? This is new stuff.
Oh, that's the reason I had to get up this morning.
Yes. You knew you were trying to sell something.
It just struck you?
No, it's just that I did this DVD over a year ago. It was like a year and a half ago, and then it came out on digitally in March. Then Showtime wanted to pick it up, so we couldn't put it out till after they aired it, and they didn't air it till August.
Oh,
and
I see.
So I feel like I'm pitching some old CD again. But yeah, it's pretty good.
It's a CD and a DVD that's available on November 6th.
Yeah, it's November 6th. It's out. And if you haven't found it yet, it's because you don't even want to steal it. It's
not trying at this point. If you haven't
you
seen
could
it.
Have stolen it. Anyone who really wants to hear this product stole it a year ago.
All right.
That's called Before Turning the Gun on Himself, and that's available for pre-order now at DougStanhope.com. Same place you can go to buy tickets to all the upcoming shows, Ontario Improv, Irvine Improv, Comedy Store in L.A. Doug Stanhope's going to step outside to smoke. We'll be right back. Talk more with Doug after this on the Kevin and Bean Show. The great Doug Stanhope in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show, performing Wednesday night at the Ontario Improv and Thursday at the Irvine Improv, and then next month, the end of November, at the Comedy Store in Los Angeles. Details on all those shows and buy your tickets at DougStanhope.com. Doug, I saw you referred to in some press the other day as an outspoken libertarian. Is that fair?
I wouldn't say outspoken.
You just keep it to yourself?
Well, no one cares anymore. It's one of those things that I kind of believe in, but no one's listening. Governor Gary Johnson for president.
Is he your guy? Is he the guy you're voting for?
Hell,
I know a lot of people love him.
Yeah, no, he's fantastic. He doesn't have that Ron Paul momentum, but he's got all the characteristics without the racist baggage.
Well, he's an option. He's on all 50 states' ballots. I mean, you can vote for Mr. Johnson if you want. We had him on the show a few years ago because of his stance in New Mexico, where he was governor, to try to legalize the pot. So
yeah,
that's what
pro-legalization, bring the troops home. He'd do it overnight. Yeah. But no one gives a crap.
Do you watch the
crap? I said
you did. Yeah, I was reaching for the button. Do you watch the debates? There's another one tonight. Do you care about that?
I have watched him. The vice presidential was kind of fun. Like Biden, that was kind of hilarious. But these two guys, it's just boring. Nothing's going to happen. It's just the same rhetoric.
They do seem to just talk in circles, and you can't remember the question, and you don't know.
You don't know the subject. The platform is uninteresting. They're not talking about legalization.
Right. That's all you know. They're not talking about legalization.
Yeah, health care. Like, I care.
Doug has given up on health care. Let's face it. I just feel like, and I know everybody says, oh, there are no good choices, but I feel like you're at a buffet and everything at the restaurant looks terrible, but you've got to eat.
But
no,
so
you
have
don't.
To.
You really
gotta
don't.
Choose something. Do you have to eat?
You're older than me, and I am. I feel like I've seen so many of these go. No president has ever affected my life. I don't look back at my life and go, well, during the Clinton years, I was funnier.
I'll challenge you that the Bush years were the funniest. That had to give you some kind of
they were the most they were the most frustrating as far as but it's still I wasn't like ready to be drafted if it went that far like there was I had no investment in anything they're talking about ever.
You weren't going to get an abortion at any time during those 8 years, probably.
Oh yeah, well, no, I did do that, but that would have changed my life quite a bit. But abortion is always something that they talk about, but no president, pro or they're not trying to change that. Government doesn't want a lot more poor people on either side.
You talk about politics in that you talk about the real world around you, but what are you passionate about right now, politics or otherwise? What really has got you fired up these days?
I don't know if I have a thing that has me fired up that's on the table, that's in the news. I don't know if there's a thing. I'm doing a lot more poop jokes.
Nothing wrong with that. That's a classic.
I know.
That's a good answer.
And I smile a lot more when I'm doing that. When I'm not railing against Guantanamo Bay, let's say. And I'm going, oh, you know what's? I have a great story about masturbating to China's, the wrestler's porn.
Oh.
Yeah, it was a true story, but it's way more relaxing to talk. Just sit back and tell a quaint anecdote about trying to masturbate to China the wrestler than it is to talk about our civil liberties being ripped away from us.
I would rather hear the masturbation story, actually. That does sound fascinating. I don't know why you would ever be reduced to using China as masturbatory material when there are other women in the world, even just one.
Because I didn't have my laptop. And that's the whole point of the story. But I'll save it for the show.
Yes, please do. Does a guy like you with your onstage persona attract a lot of chicks?
Yeah.
Really?
All the wrong ones. Yeah, I would still get laid if I needed to.
Right.
Because of comedy, but it would not be pretty.
It wouldn't be fun. Yeah.
It would be on a China level.
Doug Stanhope is here. The special is called Before Turning the Gun on Himself. That's available for pre-order right now. It's going to be available.
That has some social relevance, but not a lot.
That's available starting November 6th. You're playing at the Ontario Improv
on
Wednesday.
Did we have a beef
night?
Last time about when I started smack-talking Dr. Drew?
Oh, yeah. We love Dr.
Drew. Oh, that's
Drew.
Right. Yeah, I think so. I think you did. Yeah.
That I had to shave down to a 15-minute bit on. And
really?
I could continue doing that. You never repeat material that you've put out on a special, but I could make more material about that guy all the time.
Have you tried to get Drew on your podcast?
I have not. I don't have a podcast.
Well, you were podcasting last night.
I was doing Todd Glass's podcast. And Todd Glass, if you're out there listening, sorry, I stole your clock. I have a thing where I steal, if I find cool clocks from a cool location and I can steal them, I will. And I have a whole wall.
Steal clocks?
Yeah, I steal clocks. I have a whole wall at home.
With an L,
stolen
right?
Clocks.
Yes.
In different
clocks
places.
With an L, yes.
Yes. And so,
That's a strange thing.
Yeah, I think Todd's the kind of guy that might get upset. Like, why would you steal my clock? Because I do that.
That's your thing?
Yeah, I have a wall of
stolen
clocks.
Does everybody lock down their clocks when you come over?
No, because no one. It has to be the right kind of clock. It has to be very industrial. The first one I ever stole was from morning radio in Anchorage, K-Whale. And it was like an old, when you went to junior year high school kind of industrial clock.
When did you learn that you needed to steal other people's clocks?
Well, I had just that was that clock.
That was
I'm
it.
Like, I'm going to steal that.
Right, but then there's no part of you that goes, no, that I don't do that.
It's not mine?
No. I mean, I don't steal every clock I see. It has to be the right clock.
But if it's the right clock
from the right place, it's stolen.
It's stolen.
If you ran into Flava Flav, would you make that move?
Ooh, that's a tough one.
Mm.
First of all,
that's a tough steal.
It's a tough one to pull off.
I think you could take him though. I think you could take Flav.
Well, he just went to jail. I could I could pretend to arrest him. I could. Sorry,
he probably
doesn't
have a clock with him.
I'm gonna have to pat you down. We're gonna have to take this off. Hang on, I'm gonna go get my inquisitor, and we're gonna question you. I'll be right back with your clock.
What is happening now? Doug Stanhope, Ontario Improv Wednesday night, Irvine Improv Thursday night. Don't wear your nice watch when you go see Doug if you're sitting up close, because he may go home with it. DougStanhope.com is where you go to buy tickets for that and the new comedy special as well. I wish we had more time because you are starting to wake up and it's super fun, Doug. But come back and see us sometime later in the show. We go live now to the TMZ newsroom. You can follow him on Twitter at Dax Holt, or as we call him, at Not Harvey Levin. Dax, seriously. What the F, man? What's going on with your boss? Why does he hate us?
I don't know. What the heck his deal is every day?
Let's cut him out.
Dax, I need you to do K-Rock.
Let's cut him out. Let's just cut him out of the equation.
I love you guys, so it's okay.
Let's just go with Dax.
We love you, too. We're never sad to talk to you. We'd be happy to talk to you anytime, but we're just trying to figure out if we've done something to upset Harvey, because we, you know, for years talked to him every Monday.
I know. I literally, he's just swamped. That's all it comes down to. He's doing the meeting right now. It was funny. I was driving to work, and I heard you guys promo Harvey Levin today.
Yeah, sure.
And I started laughing. I was like, or Dax.
Yeah, he's going to make me do it.
You're a reporter. Find out what's going on there.
Exactly.
All right. Let's start with late-breaking news. We already were excited to talk to you because we wanted the details on the Lindsay intervention that you covered so well over the weekend. But even in the last few minutes, you posted something new on Lindsay. What's going on?
Yeah, so you remember what happened in New York where she supposedly swiped a pedestrian while driving into the Dream Hotel?
Right.
And he was all ticked. He ran after her after he got hit. That whole case, it's been dropped now. The whole hit and run, it's not going to be prosecuted. They didn't have enough evidence. They even had that surveillance video come out where you just couldn't tell if she hit him, if she didn't hit him. And so they said, you know what, we're going to have to drop it. And I think she's ecstatic about
how
that.
Happy, of course, yeah.
No
yeah,
kidding.
I mean, not only does she not have to fly to New York to appear in court tomorrow, but she doesn't have to worry about revoking her probation, right, and potentially having to go back to jail because she got in additional trouble. That's the big news for Lindsay, right?
That's huge. Any little thing now that she does can go back, violate probation, wind her up behind bars. So she really just needs to stop driving, stop getting behind the wheel. You know, let other people drive you, Lindsay. You're rich enough to have drivers.
All right, so the other day, Lindsay's at home, and there's a knock on the door. She opens the door. Who's standing there, Dax?
All right, so Michael Lohan decided to stage an emergency intervention.
This is Lindsay's dad, who she hates.
Well, of course. Remember, he just released the audio tapes of their conversation, so she clearly doesn't want to talk to him.
Right.
Well, he shows up at the house, and he wants to do an intervention, get her to rehab. She says no. She closes the door. Next thing you know, cops show up to remove Michael Lohan from the property, and he is now ticked. He wants to get her a conservatorship, just like Britney Spears. He wants to get her into rehab, but does not want to control her money. He says if he controls her money, everyone's going to think he's just doing it to get her cash.
Everyone thinks that anyway.
That is true.
He wants her cash, and he wants her spotlight.
Yeah, but the interesting thing is he was claiming that it wasn't just him that wants this intervention done, that it was her entire team. And we've actually seen emails go back and forth between Michael, Evan Hanley, which is her manager, David Feldman, her entertainment lawyer, and Sean Hawley, her defense lawyer. They were all on board to do this intervention. So clearly it makes me think, well, maybe Michael Lohan's not that crazy. If you got Sean Hawley on your team.
I can't accept that.
And you've seen
he's still
these
crazy, but
right. But you're saying it wasn't just him, and this wasn't just a desperate attempt to get in the spotlight. This was I'm one of several people who believes this girl really has a problem.
And supposedly he was going to go first, get her, and then the rest of them were going to show up, and they were going to have the stage of this intervention.
Oh, he was there by himself.
Well, yeah, he showed up first.
I thought they all showed up together.
No, they were supposed to show up a little bit later.
Bean has a theory, and I think I buy it, and that is if he really wanted her to go to rehab, he should have stayed out of it.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay.
All right, let me ask you this.
Call up on the phone, have Sean Hawley do it. I don't know. Don't send Michael Lohan. Clearly she hates him.
Yeah.
Right, exactly, because she's going to shut the door. What about, is it Michael who's claiming that he's been told that Lindsay is drinking like crazy amounts of vodka every day?
Yes. So he is saying that he's been talking to a lot of people, that she's been doing like a handle of vodka, a handle and a half a day, and that she's completely off the wagon, she's hanging out with all these drug addicts, that she's surrounding herself with just the wrong people, and that's why he wants to step in.
Now, do you have anything to support that? Have you seen anything or heard from anyone else that that is, in fact, the case that she's on a substance problem here?
Listen, everything that we hear about Lindsay when she goes clubbing, all that kind of stuff, everyone always sees her with water. So no one else has really confirmed this. I have not seen her drinking or stumbling out of clubs lately. So I don't know where he's getting all this information, but he claims it's absolutely true.
Yeah, he makes everything suspect. He could if he came to us and had unequivocal proof that there was a UFO, none of us would believe it because it's Michael Lohan. Yeah. It doesn't matter what he says.
And that's the thing. He's, you know, said stuff in the past that now you just don't believe anything he has to say.
Right, exactly.
And Lindsay's denying all. She goes, I do not need rehab. I just want to get a restraining order against my dad. And I guess Lindsay's whole family is basically on her side and says the dad needs to back off and go
away. All right, last question for you on the Lindsay thing. And it was a couple of days ago you guys put up the story that she didn't show up to do ADR on a movie. Why would you, why is she skipping work again if it's not a, if it's not a drinking thing? What's the problem?
I can't make up excuses for Lindsay. I have no idea. I mean, it's a paying gig. Why wouldn't you show up?
You show up, indeed?
I got to say, though, it was kind of rude for the producer to sit there and tweet it all out, too. Like, they clearly wanted publicity off of her not showing up.
Yeah.
Instead of just calling her and saying, Lindsay, did you have a scheduling conflict? What'd you do? But instead, they called her out on Twitter.
TMZ.com is the entertainment website of record for all things showbiz, all things celebrity. TMZ airs on Fox Monday through Friday a bunch of times a day, and the new TMZ Live is at 4 p.m. also on Fox. And you can follow Dax on Twitter at Dax Holt. Thanks so much for the time, man.
Yeah, probably see you guys next Monday.
Yeah, we'll talk to you next Monday.
I don't even want to do this.
What?
I just want to get to Azita. I just want to just move on. I just want to get to the important
part
of the
show. That's a Caribbean island, Azita?
I don't think we need Bean in on this conversation in the next interview. I think bad things are going to happen.
What? I'm down with alphas.
You're not down with alphas.
I'm totally down with it. Look, when mind control fails, it says here, that's when things get really scary
it
on
says
alphas.
Here.
Yes. Well, Azita Gadazada joins us in studio next year on the Kevin and Bean Show for the Alphas season finale, which airs tonight, and the guys are very excited about it.
Can't wait. It's really one of the best shows on TV.
It is.
A lot of people get put off, I think, because you may not necessarily be a sci-fi fan. But it's really not a sci-fi show. It's a thriller. It's
I was thinking if this was on a network, it would be monster.
Yeah. Yeah. So people need to watch because I need a third season. Because if I don't get a third season, I'm going to be very cranky. And you would not like me when I'm cranky. I'm kind of like a poor man's Hulk. You know, you wouldn't like him when he's angry.
Right.
You wouldn't like me when I'm cranky. Bad things will happen. We'll talk about the show.
When you aren't cranky, Ralph, so I can't imagine.
I'm not cranky on Monday nights when I'm watching Alphas. That's why I need it. I need a little happiness in my life, and that show makes me happy. We'll talk more about it in a couple minutes. First, let's get to the showbiz news. Top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. It is Monday morning, and we always take a look. Paranormal Activity 4, as expected, was number one this weekend with $30.2 million.
How was it, Kevin?
Didn't see that one. Had to catch up on Argo.
Yes, you did. Did you see the first three?
I did.
Then you saw this one.
I'll see this one.
Argo did very well for itself, $16.6 million. I really enjoyed that movie. Did I mention a lot of the Red State cast are in this film?
Did I mention that
Ben Affleck apparently saw Kevin Smith's Red State and liked a lot of the actors in it and hired a bunch of them. Carrie Bechet, who played my daughter in Red State, she's in the film. John Goodman's in the film. Michael Parks is in the film. A lot of Red State cast members made it into Argo.
So virtually everyone that made a favorable impression on Mr. Affleck got cast in his film.
Saying a lot of people from Red State were in Argo. Some of us were not. The phone did not ring.
Mm. Maybe you just missed it.
Maybe Ben Affleck likes actors who speak lines. Maybe. Anyone can act with lines, Mr. Affleck.
That's true. It
takes a true actor to play a mute assassin.
Has John Goodman ever been bigger?
Oh, yeah. He looks thin in comparison.
He does?
Oh, yeah.
I thought he looked terrible in this movie.
Check out the first season of Tremé. Huge. Where were we? Hotel Transylvania was third on the list. Taken 2 was fourth. Alex Cross. No one believes Tyler Perry is a hard-bitten detective fighting crime. Shocking that people did not rush to the theaters. Had it been Alex Cross-dresser, then maybe people would have gone.
Boom. They do like him there.
I'm just saying. When he puts on a dress, people seem to like Tyler Perry. Sinister was sixth. Here Comes the Boom was seventh. Pitch Perfect, Frankenweenie, and Looper. A listener emailed me regarding Here Comes the Boom, the Kevin James film where he plays an MMA fighter. And he said, is he fighting someone over who gets in line first at the buffet?
The answer, no.
No.
He wins.
That would be good. Congratulations to Adele, one of my favorite singers. She had a baby boy on Friday with her boyfriend, Simon Konecki. No word on the baby's name because her representative released the following statement. We are not releasing a statement at this time. Yes, you are.
That's an odd statement to not release.
You're releasing a statement by saying you're not releasing a statement. Justin Timberlake and Jessica Biel got married over the weekend. They got married at a beautiful estate in Italy. I had chartered some planes, flew all their friends and family out there from the U.S. to
nice.
See them get married in Italy. Spent the week there. Did a little week sort of vacation nice. For everyone and the wedding. That's nice.
They seem like a couple, by the way, a celebrity couple, a huge celebrity couple that manages to just be regular people, to not be in the tabloids all the time, not get into crazy trouble. And
they're real deals right there.
Draw attention to them. Yeah, they just seem like just regular, decent people.
Seem like they just like to do their work and leave the rest alone. Timberlake was out there for a little bit. He was out there with the bling and showing
up. Oh, he went through his phase. Yeah, his
Knicks games
phase, sure.
and stuff and everything. But they seem pretty cool. I'm upset.
About
this lawsuit. It's being brought by the producers of Sesame Street. They are cracking down on the sexy Big Bird costume for this year's Halloween. And I think that's a mistake. Yandy.com apparently has an unlicensed sexy Big Bird costume available for purchase online. And the producers have stepped in and sent them a cease and desist letter saying you can no longer dress women as sexy Big Bird. How am I going to fulfill my Big Bird fantasies if I don't get my wife a sexy Big Bird costume?
I don't think you have a Big Bird.
I'm going to have to break out the sexy Bert and Ernie costumes, and you don't want that to happen.
No, that's not good for anyone.
Sexy Oscar the Grouch will not have the same effect. And good news for people who like to watch Walking Dead.
Love it.
Or Mad Men.
Love it.
Or Comic Book Men, the show my buddy Kevin Smith does have there on AMC. AMC and apparently Dish Network have settled their dispute.
Oh.
So if you've got the Dish Network, you can now get AMC Networks. It was a $700 million deal. Wow. Excuse me, $700 million deal in the settlement announced yesterday that will restore AMC Networks to Dish. So they're back in business. Now I guess AMC has to start running We're Sorry, Dish Networks is Good commercials.
They did
to counteract all that. F Dish Network, they're the worst. You don't want them. Go to this website, cancel Dish and get anythingelse.com. they were coming at them pretty hard there during that dispute. But now they've made friends again, which is nice. Today's celebrity birthday is Jonathan Lipnicki. He was a little kid in Jerry Maguire. Human head weighs 8 pounds. Remember that kid?
Sure. Yeah.
He had me at hello. 22 years old today. Zach Hanson of Hanson is 27.
Is that the girl?
No, the drummer. Zach's the drummer. He was the little kid.
Okay.
Back in the day. Jesse Tyler Ferguson from Modern Family. Love that show. So funny. 37 years old today. Tyler Jones. Nope. That was an amalgamation of Jesse Tyler Ferguson and Spike Jones. Spike Jones, the director from Adaptation and Where the Wild Things Are, 43 years old today. Shaggy turns 44 years old.
Timing.
This is Shaggy. Well, this part isn't. But we'll get to Shaggy in a minute. Here he is.
But she caught me on the counter. Wasn't me. Saw me banging on the sofa. Wasn't me. I even had her in the shower. Wasn't me. She even caught me on camera. Wasn't me. She saw the marks on my shoulder.
A lot of denial going on there, Ralph.
Yeah, that's the Kevin and Bean master plan, isn't it?
It wasn't me.
Yeah, Shaggy's 44 years old today. Comedian Carlos Mencia is 45. Brian Boitano, former U.S. Olympic figure skater. Bob is 49. Bob Odenkirk's 50. Jeff Goldblum turned 60. And Christopher Lloyd from Taxi and Back to the Future.
Marty, we have to go into the future. Some guy on the radio says, happy birthday to me.
He's 74 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
I'm not worried about Kevin. I am worried about Ralph behaving. I would
behaving.
Like to your best behavior for this guest.
I am nothing if not a gentleman.
He's been
I know that
incredible.
You are overflowing with love for Azita.
I do love Azita. I love her and I love her show. And no guest has ever smelled better. I'll tell you that much.
That's true.
She does this morning.
I'll tell you.
Dave said when he came
I'm
in,
like Rachel. I can smell her from across the room.
This
I can break down the molecules of the perfume
Stanhope
she's wearing.
Stanhope smelled pretty good.
Yeah, if you like vodka.
I do.
Azita, what do you smell like? What are we catching in the air here?
I don't. Is it vanilla? Maybe lavender?
I think it is a little vanilla, yeah.
Yeah, I'm like a walking vanilla lavender bomb. That's kind of how I roll. Yeah,
it's lovely.
It's an accident. It's a total accident. It just somehow ends up this way.
How is it an accident?
I don't know. I think it's my natural scent.
She just exudes lavender and vanilla.
I just exude lavender and vanilla.
Made out of candy.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
What you are.
I'm like a walking lollipop.
Let's welcome Azita to the show, shall we?
Yeah.
Azita Gadazada, the TV show is called Alphas. It is on Sci-Fi. Apparently, I am a bad person because I haven't been watching.
You're
but
an idiot.
Yeah.
You boys are very excited.
I just took a picture with your plastic cutout
for you.
I'm going to tweet it to you, and I'm going to make you watch Alphas, the finale tonight at 8 p.m.
Really quickly, let's just talk about Alphas because it really is, in my opinion, one of the best shows on TV.
Thank you so
in terms
much.
Of smart writing, brilliant acting. But Rachel, you're the character you play on the show. I was a little pissed off last week about Rachel.
Yeah, because she was all up in the 911. What was that
They're
all about?
They're trying to get some information out of Cipriano, and then you have to get your little cell phone and rat out Lee.
Give it to me.
And Cam and everybody else.
Take it. I'm taking the punches.
What the hell's wrong with you?
Listen to me,
Ralph. It's Stanton Parrish we're dealing with here.
I would like to set Cipriano on fire myself, okay?
No time to get soft, Rachel.
Okay, Rachel has a thing called morals, okay?
Oh, whatever.
I know. It's just Rachel has to be the moral consciousness of the show. Unfortunately, and you can yell at the editors or the writers, there was a scene that was cut out. They cut out an essential scene as to why Rachel kind of made the call.
Oh.
So that's called TV editing. They cut out a scene between Rachel and Cipriano where there was a lot of kind of very dark information passed between the two of them, and it kind of showed how he was asking for sympathy from her, and that was when she made the decision. So that was written into the show, and then somehow that scene magically disappeared, and now Rachel looks like a little traitor.
Yes.
But there was a moment in there where he literally was about to die in her arms and kind of said, your doctor, he's lost his mind. So you have to make a choice right now. Like, are you going to go with him? Are you going to be as dirty as him? Is this the way you do things? And it really kind of put her in this little corner, and she had to choose between her beloved Dr. Rosen, who's kind of lost his mind.
He is
a little bit.
Well, his daughter was killed there in front of him, so you can understand why.
But if you're on Team Rosen, you're not dialing 911. That's BS.
I mean, listen,
we have to take your word for that thing about the editing?
Oh, the editing. Oh, that's what it is.
Oh,
that's what the Kardashians always say when they don't look good on television. That's the way they edited our show.
Yes,
I'm just
yes.
saying. And you are no longer part of the team.
I am a part of the team. You have to understand, I have the team's best interest at heart, and I don't want to become as dangerous as the red flag.
This is Stanton Parrish we're dealing with, Rachel. You need to understand the magnitude
of
what we're dealing with.
Does the man die? I mean, what are we going to do?
Whatever it takes. Whatever it takes. Any means necessary.
Any means necessary.
Is Stanton Parrish going to kill millions?
Yes.
Okay, then your little phone call's not helping.
You lose one flamer for millions of regular people.
Cipriano is in jail, okay? Like, first of all.
He can get out.
Real Azita would have set him on fire, okay? I am from Afghanistan. Like, I
You would have torched
no compunction.
Him.
Do not put me in this corner, boys.
I'm sorry. I just feel better. I needed to get that out.
No.
Knowing you were coming in, I needed to vent a little bit.
It's okay. No, because I think the fans are pissed, too. And that's always weird, you know, as an actor to upset your fans. And you're like, but there was a scene
but
that
it got
justified
cut out.
It.
Actually, the best part about Alphas, I think, is the nature of the characters, which is not everything is black and white. There are a lot of gray areas. There are people. I mean, the characters take real journeys. There are real arcs where, like Lee Rosen, who was sort of a meek and mild intellectual in season one, especially in the beginning of this season, now he has become this emotional, sort of out of control, revenge-crazed maniac.
Yeah, I think that was an interesting thing, too, to watch David kind of battle with that, to kind of see Dr. Rosen get darker and darker. And we were all very excited about it because then it gives the team conflict because he can't always be perfect. I mean, he just lost his daughter. I mean, what are you capable of when something like that happens? And when he did it on the day, when you watch him torture it was just like this little fine switch. Like, there's David all smiley and sweet and everything, and then all of a sudden he just switches and he like grabs Scipio's head, and I'm like, oh, holy crap, like something bad's gonna happen now.
David Strathairn, she's referring to, plays Lee Rosen's show. What a great actor he is.
He's unbelievable.
I'm not sure he was acting. I think that was I'm pretty sure that was real.
And Ryan Cartwright, another actor on that show, who plays
British.
It was British, who I didn't know until I saw him interviewed.
Which
he's
guy?
British.
Who is he?
He plays the autistic guy.
Oh, I love him. He plays Gary, who reads the waves through the air when he's doing that thing.
He's been so good this season.
He's
British
so
guy.
Good.
Got a hardcore British accent.
Rachel and Gary.
That's weird.
No, he's a British guy, funny, dry, whip smart, filthy British. I can't tell you how filthy and British he is, but he's such a talented actor.
Let's back up just for the beans of the world who aren't paying attention.
How dare
screw
they?
Them. Screw those
I'm
people.
Saying, screw you, Bean.
Catch everyone up you? In general on the people and the different powers that they have.
So
if you don't mind.
Basically, Alphas is about a team of five extraordinary individuals with superhuman abilities that are kind of brain anomalies. So we're not necessarily superheroes. Our abilities are rooted in real neurological scientific like facts. So Rachel can super see, hear, taste, touch, smell, and see, but like she has a lot of issues. She has OCD because of it. Like she's never really been able to have sex until this season. Thank God that's over with. Hopefully she doesn't have to do it again.
Oh, I beg to differ. I think she and John Bennett should be knocking boots every episode.
I think
it looked to me like she got over it.
I mean,
did get over it in a big way that episode.
If it's gonna happen again, she better like strangle him to death with her thighs next time. Like that's right. it's gotta get dangerous. Okay, none of this soft stuff.
She should take her bra off next time they do it. Though. That's what I was thinking. I was watching the episode. I'm like, wait a minute. She's all, yeah, let's do it again. Let's practice. And then they come to, and you got the sheet up. And I said, well, and then your bra was on.
One step at a time for this poor little girl.
Rachel, a little mouse of a girl.
We have Nina who has, she can push people. She has the ability to mind control. We have Bill Harkin with super strength. And then we have Hicks who is a parkour. No, he's got hyperkinesis. So he can like super aim and balance. And then we have a new girl that's come on this year.
She's great too.
She can like she's a photographic memory. She can learn anything in 10 minutes, but she has no long-term memory because of it. And then Summer Glau, who's on Tonight's Finale too, she can like build any kind of like
mechanical genius.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. She's like, you know, she's like Santa's helper. She
this is what heroes.
Gary, as we mentioned, can read wavelengths.
Yeah,
through,
can read like
air.
Yeah, electromagnetic wavelengths. But because of it, all of us have a problem. So Rachel has OCD. Like Gary has autism. Nina has like depression and like severe trust issues.
This
like,
is how you guys should have sold me the show. These are my people.
Yeah. That's true. Bean has Asperger's, and that's why he's sort of like he should be on your team.
It's true.
The only problem is he's got all the bad stuff and none of the good stuff.
None of the good.
Come from
exactly.
Alphas is a bunch of broken heroes trying to save the world, and that's kind of like the whole entire thing of the show. And it's beautifully, beautifully done and well written and very ambitious. And
Ralph mentioned before that this is what Heroes should have been when it was on the network, and I agree. This is a better show than Heroes was.
Much so. And it's got a sort of an X-Men sort of vibe about it, too. I mean, anytime you bring a team of people with special abilities together, it gets compared to a lot of other projects. But in my opinion, this is the best that I've seen on television, certainly.
Thank you so much. More people should watch it.
And season one to season two was a big leap.
Yeah. I mean, there was a lot of different things happened and changed, and the focus of the show changed a little bit. It became much more serialized, kind of. This season was definitely about going after the big bad, especially in the second half. I mean, we are all guns pointed at Stanton Parrish right now and kind of taking him down, where in the first season you saw a lot of development of the characters and kind of different alphas of the week. And the cool thing about alphas is that it doesn't always stay true to one format. Sometimes like we're going after bad alpha. Sometimes the show is character driven. Then sometimes it's just really serialized.
What happens tonight?
Ooh, tonight is the
finale.
Tell me
all.
The big showdown, right?
Well, basically, if you watched last week when Rachel was a traitor,
yes.
you know, at the end of the episode, you know, Dr. Rosen got shot. So we kind of have an injured Lee Rosen running around with his vengefulness towards Stanton Parrish.
Parrish has gone off to watch the downfall of mankind from his perch. He wants to get an overview of the whole thing.
God's Eye View was the title of last week's episode, and it just kind of like that's what he thinks he is. You know, he kind of has this God complex, and he thinks he's going to stand up on that perch and watch millions of people die so that he can like eradicate the human race and make it an alpha's race.
And Rachel helped him.
Yeah, nice work, Rachel.
We need to take a break.
You're the worst.
Kevin wasn't even expecting an answer to what happens today, by the way.
No, I wasn't. I usually ask that question. We saw at the end of the last episode. Yeah. Lee's shot there. He's in the car. And he's got the keys. So we're assuming he goes off after them. And it will be some sort of showdown between
the two. It's a big
boom.
It's a boom, boom, boom. You
the addition
watch
of Stanton Parrish this season,
we need to take
way.
A break.
Oh, come on.
Season
yeah.
two
come
on. Finale tonight at 8 o'clock on the Sci-Fi Channel. Our guest is Azita Ghanizadeh. She is in studio with us. We're going to learn more about her, like why she abandoned Afghanistan when they needed her the most. When we return right after this on Kids. Well, she's just more adorable even off the air than she is on the air, you guys. I think yes. I think we may need to keep Azita. We may need to trap her. I think she may need to be a permanent fixture.
Trap guests, as a rule.
Bean does.
Is that not how it's done?
Yeah. No.
Well, why
Bean
have a basement then?
Bean has binders full of women, Bean.
Yes, I do.
Oh, Bean still uses binders. He LOL. Does.
I'm old school. Azita Ghanizadeh in studio with us here on The Kevin and Bean Show. She plays Rachel on Sci-Fi's Alphas, which has its season two finale. But this is one of those shows that people can get into at any time because these days everything's available on DVD or on demand or iTunes. They can go back and catch up if they want, and they should.
Oh, yeah. What? We're on Netflix. Season one's on Netflix. We're on Hulu.
You're on Hulu. Yeah, I remember that.
Hulu. What's the status? The season two finale is tonight. What do we know about a season three? Is that happening or no?
We don't know yet officially anything. But
we will burn this place down.
Yes.
I don't know how that would help. But
I don't know why burning our studio down would help influence sci-fi. Decisions in any way, but
stand in arms, boys. That's right. What it's called. We don't know yet. Fingers crossed. We're waiting to hear if we have a third season pickup. I think everybody's hopeful and looking forward to it.
Sci-fi renew this show, for God's sakes.
For God's sakes, you know the finale is going to kind of set things on fire a bit, and hopefully get everybody really excited to head into the third season and kind of continue to tell the story from what happens tonight, which is pretty intense.
You were telling me earlier that you guys are a big hit internationally as well, though, too, right?
Yeah, I mean, I've done tons of press. Japan, Italy, South Africa, Brazil. We have France. We have so many fans internationally. It's incredible.
You're just naming countries now.
Yes.
She's just looking at an atlas. She's reading names.
That's all that's happening.
I got to go to Holland and meet some fans there.
They don't even have TV in Holland. Now I know you're lying.
They do. They have wooden TVs.
They do. They do. They love Game of Thrones. They love Alphas. I think science fiction translates globally, which is a really, really cool thing about this genre. Like, comedy doesn't necessarily translate all over the world. The people don't get, they don't have the same kind of humor in every country, but science fiction for sure translates.
Have you seen yourself dubbed into other languages when you watch episodes?
No, but I had a friend go to Rome, and he was like, I was watching TV, and I was like, what are you, is Zito on an Italian TV show? And I was like, oh, I have to see this. I have to see it.
All right, I have a question for you, Azita, and I know the guys are going to try to twist this and try to make it sound like I'm asking something
creepy.
No, it's not. It's not creepy at all. I will give you a dollar if you guys think this is creepy. It's not a creepy question. We've met hundreds.
Creepy alert, creepy alert, creepy alert, creepy alert.
We've met hundreds of actresses over the years, and we've met hundreds of pretty women over the years. None of them have personality like yours. Why are you still so nice when you don't have to be?
Oh my goodness. I don't know. That's a silly.
That wasn't creepy.
That's not creepy at all.
It was just dumb.
No, you know what I mean. Hot chicks never are as nice as Azita is. What's going on? Like, what's her damage?
I've never considered myself hot. So maybe that's where it starts from.
You have poor vision. We know that. Maybe she's blind. Maybe that's why she's so nice.
Now that explains
everything's
it.
Blurry.
Grew up in a home without mirrors.
I grew up we were political refugees. Like, I grew up an immigrant. So, I always felt like an outcast in general. I always felt like a weirdo. Like, everybody was blonde where I grew up, and here I was with this, dark hair and dark skin and spoke another language and ate weird food. So, I always felt a bit outside of the circle. So, I think that's kind of why maybe I don't. I'm not a jerk. I'm just going to watch my language.
But you're also an actress, so what you should be doing is looking at your watch, smacking your gum, and thinking like you're doing us a favor for being here. That's your job as an actress right now.
This is my first radio, live radio experience, so really? I'm so excited to be here. Absolutely not. You can't be petulant. I mean, I come from a place which is in going into its fourth decade of war, and you're constantly bombarded with information, and you have all these sliding doors moments all the time. Like, what would I be doing? I mean, I'm an actor, and I had to fight really hard to be an actor in America within my own community. But if I was in Afghanistan, I would be stoned to death or murdered. Or there was a girl who had, they threw acid on her face because she was an actor, and they just had their first TED in Kabul that my friend Ariana performed at. And one of the girls that went up there and rapped is now getting, death threats. And is probably going to have to be moved out of Kabul and hidden.
You moved to America when you were a baby.
Yes.
But clearly you are invested in your parents' home country. You still pay attention very closely to Afghanistan. Why is it so important to you?
I just think part of my responsibility and just in any Afghan national's responsibility is also to kind of paint a picture of what the country was in the 60s and 70s when my dad and mom were growing up there. And my dad was part of a Beatles cover band, and my mom wore little candies and short shorts and looked like Cher, and people drank whiskey, and it was part of the Silk Road. And it was this really cool little groovy place that people would go to, like hippies.
It was very progressive,
and it was very different. And then, really once war began, it really has kind of tumbled backwards, really into the dark ages. And I think there's a responsibility to share some of that information. There's also a responsibility to say that, you know, all Afghans aren't these, you know, scary people. They were educated, they were cultured, they were worldly. And, you know, the majority of them got out, went to Germany and America and whatnot. So there's a bit of a responsibility, and I feel like it's my duty to kind of go back and give back as much as possible and build schools and all that kind of stuff. Because
can you travel to Afghanistan? Are you allowed to go back?
You know, I was up for a couple movies that shot there. I didn't get them. The Kite Runner was one of them. I thought I'd go back for that. And then the second one I was offered, I went to Nashville to do Tough Trade, but they were like, oh, Afghan police will be your security. And I called one of my friends who's an Army Ranger, and he's like, they will sell you for a pack of cigarettes. That is not a good look for you. Okay.
So, oh, man.
So security, for security reasons, I didn't go back. Plus, you know, I'm an actor and I'm an outspoken one at that, and I'm outspoken about women's rights, and I'm outspoken about being allowed to have an education, which, you know, you have little girls shaving their heads and pretending to be boys to go to school there, and you just had a little girl be shot in the head because, you know, in Pakistan by the Taliban, because she wanted, you know, she thinks girls have the right to an education, which shows you that your brain is your greatest weapon. So
so you haven't been back.
Haven't been back because I'm just a bit afraid that, I don't know, I am a little weary some of it, but I will go and I will cut the ribbon on my first school, or I will go there and I try to donate as much as I can time-wise and financially and stuff.
Well, you're very, very impressive. Thank you so much for the time today.
Thank
we really
you so
enjoyed
much,
it.
Bean.
Congratulations on Alphas. Before you go, season finale is tonight, Sci-Fi Channel, 8 o'clock. What can fans do to somehow influence the Sci-Fi Network to bringing it back for season 3?
I mean, Twitter seems to be such a beast. You know, I don't know if you guys, hashtag Alphas. I think that that's a really big thing. You know, follow the Alphas cast, at Azita Ghanizada, at H. Warren Christie. I mean, I follow all of them. You can check out mine. But really, hashtag Alphas and watch the season finale and let Sci-Fi know, let all the other Alphas fans know that you guys are tuning in, because we love you. We love your support. We want to keep on making good television for you.
I say we just send them, we just deluge them with bars of soap. Because bars of soap. Because John Bennett had to give Rachel his choice of what soap he was going to wear, because she can smell it.
Oh, that's right.
Comes in.
Yes.
That's so we just send them just bars and bars of soap into their offices until they agree. Well, they're gonna be snowed under by soap if they don't. That's all I'm saying. I'm gonna threaten them with soap.
Okay. All right. That's not a done deal yet. We haven't settled
We haven't settled on this form of attack.
Maybe not soap, but something.
We're going to find something really, really violent. Like scented vanilla soap.
That's right.
All right, Azita. You're the best. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Azita. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. That is Youngblood Hawk with We Come Running.
That song must frighten you, Ralph. I know how you are about creepy-sounding little kids.
I am Youngblood Hawk. I go many moons, travel many miles to get young children to sing with me.
That's an awesome song, though. Again, it's called We Come Running if you want to check it out. Youngblood Hawk is the artist. It's the Kevin and Bean Show on a Monday morning, 9:43. Ralph is here with the final look at the showbiz beat.
All right, it is Monday morning. That means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office, as expected, since we are in the Halloween season and everyone's in the mood for a scary movie. No surprise that Paranormal Activity 4 was number one at the box office this weekend, making a little over $30 million. Put it at number one. Then you get right after that Argo. I like that Argo.
Me too.
Enjoyed it. I saw it last weekend. I know, Kevin, you saw it. Didn't you find that even though you kind of know the ending, it's still a very suspenseful film?
It is, completely. And that's a trick, I would think. But it's also fascinating that it happened.
Yeah.
Actually happened.
Hotel Transylvania was third, Taken 2, and then Alex Cross, the new detective thriller starring Tyler Perry, only made $11.8 million. That made it number 5 this weekend. Sinister was 6th, Here Comes the Boom, Pitch Perfect, Frankenweenie, and Looper, rounding out your top 10 at the box office this weekend. Good news for people who have Dish Network. They paid $700 million to settle its dispute with AMC and Cablevision. So people who watch AMC shows like Mad Men and Walking Dead, they will have a chance to see it once again if you're on Dish Networks. I didn't know this, but the AMC networks include Sundance Channel, WeTV, IFC.
Wow.
All those networks were missing. So it's good news for you. You're not going to miss the Trapped in the Closet marathon on Thanksgiving Day if you have Dish Network, so it's good to go. Jenny McCarthy has a new job. Sadly, it does not involve taking her clothes off. She's going to be a columnist for the Chicago Sun-Times.
Seriously, though.
She is a girl from Chicago. She's going to become a columnist and daily blogger for Splash, a supplement to the Chicago Sun-Times. Her Ask Jenny feature will pop up online today, so you can check it out. Her first column will debut this Sunday.
Open up a blog.
She's got a new book she's been selling recently, telling stories about how she loved Jesus so much when she was a teenager. She had posters of Jesus on her wall. Like other people had pop stars, she had Jesus.
Right.
And she also later in the book talks about how she serviced a guy at a truck stop for $20 when she and her girlfriends were out of gas going on a spring break trip.
Whoa! Really? So I was like, that was a left turn.
Is that what would Jesus do? Is that one of those moments? Is that really? Jesus posters, huh?
Ralph, I know you have cartoon hate for Jenny McCarthy.
Yeah, she's repugnant on every level.
I do not feel that way about her
except
at all.
Except for her looks and her cans. Yeah.
If you were the guy who got her for $20 at a truck stop, you would think, this is the greatest day of my life ever, right?
Jenny and her teens for $20 is a pretty good deal.
In my opinion. For some trucker with no teeth?
Before she got the implants, I'm just saying. So,
wow, really?
Yeah. You got to mark her down. I'm just saying. You're not getting Playboy McCarthy. That's all I'm saying.
All right.
Getting pre-Playboy McCarthy. Christina Aguilera may have a new job. It's kind of an insult, but she's been offered a deal from a dating website for plus-sized women called TheBigAndTheBeautiful.com. They have sent a letter to Christina saying they would be thrilled to have her as a spokeswoman.
Look, I'm not trying to be controversial here, but every week I see a new interview with Christina Aguilera on the TV where she talks about how she's satisfied and happy with her body size.
Yes.
She's not.
But she is. She's but very she's happy not. Being plus size. She couldn't
I
be
don't
happier.
Believe it.
She couldn't be happier.
Fatty, 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 fatty.
Christina would be the spokesperson for TheBigAndTheBeautiful.com. It would require doing a radio commercial, a TV ad, a photo shoot, some public appearances. Look, they're willing to pay her $3 million.
Wow.
For not very much work. All you have to do is be the face of fat.
That's
like L'Oreal.
Seems like you don't want that.
Only for fat.
Okay, fat wins.
And Rhonda Shimes has announced that Private Practice will be officially going off the air at the end of this season. The president of the Private Practice fan club said, that show's still on the air. So, that's the
Everyone
end
was bailing, right? All the good actors were...
Yeah, Kay Wass is leaving, and apparently they would not withstand her leaving that show, so they're just going to call it a day. Did you catch Saturday Live this weekend, Bean? I know you're the guy who watches around here.
I did.
How was it?
It was decent. The sketches were not great, but Bruno Mars was a very likable, very talented host, and was a terrific musical guest as well.
Tom Hanks dropped by, right? Didn't he do a little?
He sure did.
Guest
he was
appearance?
On three different times during the show. Tom Hanks popped up. He's very funny.
Yeah, the reason I thought of it is because he and Steven Spielberg apparently in conversations with HBO about doing yet another miniseries about World War II. Tom Hanks loves him some World War II.
He does.
They, of course, did Band of Brothers and The Pacific together, and they are in discussions with Hanks and Spielberg about doing yet another WW2 miniseries. And the ratings for those things are always good, so HBO is definitely interested. And this has got to be the weirdest story of the day. Lord of the Rings films, of course, Peter Jackson had a smash hit with that trilogy. Now he's working on The Hobbit, which is being made into three films as well. Just been announced, an interesting cameo appearance by an actor in those films. Stephen Colbert, apparently.
What?
Stephen Colbert
what?
Is going to be appearing in the Hobbit films.
What? That won't take us out of the story.
Yeah, how?
Stephen Colbert is a huge fan of The Hobbit and of the Lord of the Rings films, and he was visiting Peter Jackson on the set in New Zealand where they're currently filming the Hobbit films, and Peter Jackson put Stephen Colbert into the movies.
Odd.
So while you're watching it, you'll see him show up in his suit running through a scene while everyone applauds or something. And I don't know. It'd be very strange. But
hilarious.
Some dude in a suit running through the field.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Christopher Lloyd is 74 years old today. He, of course, Doc Brown from Back to the Future. And Reverend Jim on Taxi, one of the funniest sitcoms ever. Jeff Goldblum is 60 years old today. Bob Odenkirk, very funny man, is 50. Carlos Mencia, comedian, is 45. Spike Jonze,
director of adaptation and Where the Wild Things Are, 43 years old. Jesse Tyler Ferguson plays Mitch on Modern Family. He is 37 years old today. Zach Hansen of Hansen is 27. Jonathan Lipnicki from Jerry Maguire is 22. And we've been celebrating Shaggy's birthday all day today. Shaggy.
She called me Mr. Bombastic. Silly fantastic. Yeah. Me on me box, she says I'm
there it
Mr.
is. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
This was the first dance song for me and my wife at our wedding.
I don't remember
that. Yeah, it was, yeah.
Just like a silk.
You mean after the Batman theme?
Yeah, sure.
I'm a lyrical lover.
Shaggy's 44 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean show, we have Adelaide Clemens. She's going to be here from, she's starring in Silent Hill Revelation 3D.
Oh, yeah.
Looks
yeah,
scary.
That looks very scary.
I don't know if you're watching The Homeland. I love that show so much. And the actor who plays Abu Nazir is going to be in here. Naveed
Negabat. He's a bad man. I don't trust him. I don't trust him at all.
Yeah, we're put up the metal detectors.
No kidding.
And also, Bean almost couldn't vote because they gave him black ink.
I'm sorry, what happened now?
He got black ink. He gave him a pen with black ink so that he could vote.
That's the requirement to fill out your ballot is it has to be in black ink. So I was paralyzed.
Bean can only what do write I do? In blue ink.
He can only write in blue.
What do I do?
So other
kill yourself. That's the all you know the answer to every question you ask of me. You know I only have one answer.
So we're going to take calls from other people who have this minutia that just how drives them out of their mind.
You mean, let me rephrase that. People who pay attention to things that really matter is what you mean. That's right. How you meant to sell it.
You might go through your life not being able to write with a black pen.
I'm getting the heebie-jeebies even hearing you say those words write with a black pen.
So that's tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean show.
You're exhausted.